866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Good morning, Brian.
Danny didn't even park his car in a parking space this morning.
Power outage.
Power outage.
Whole neighborhood.
Because of the fire?
But I have a wind-up alarm clock. But I guess the batteries are running a little low. So it went off when it should have, but it was really like 15, 20 minutes later than that.
Gee, got to use my...
battery.
Got to use my little battery timer thing. My kitchen timer.
Oh, yeah.
Backup. Telling you, everybody.
Set it for 22 hours, or whatever it would have been. 20.
No, you do. Here's what you do. I know.
Anywhere near 8 hours.
Let me see. I've been pushing this thing for a long time, which is my little digital timer. I got one for Danny so we could enjoy cigarettes during the commercial break and not keep staring at the clock. But
very kind of you, by the way.
At night, my pleasure. At night, I use mine. I set my alarm clock. I go to bed at 11 o'clock. I get up at 5 o'clock.
Do you nap?
Yeah, oftentimes.
But it's not a thing. I stay up till this hour. I nap, then I start my second part of my life. You only nap if you have to.
No. I usually take a nap somewhere around 2 in the afternoon for an hour and a half or something like that. I love my nap and always have. But yeah. I go to bed at 11:30, something like that. I set my alarm clock. It goes off at 5 a.m., but I take my little battery digital timer, and I just set it for 6 hours. Now, that is my safety net. If there's a power outage, if something happens over the course of the evening, I have something that has a battery in it that's going to go off in 6 hours. The thing that's kind of cool about it is you just have to do the math. If you go to bed at midnight, you set it for 5 hours, and you go to bed at 11, you do it for 6 hours, and you do a sort of reverse math. But it's always there, and you're never worried about the power or whatever happening. This is a nice little battery backup system I enjoy. All right, let's see. What do we got going today? We got Bill Engvall. He's in Delta Farce. Yes, indeed.
One of these blue-collar comedy guys.
He is one of the blue-collar comedy guys, and those guys have probably made more money on tour than, yeah. Well, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, if you're from a blue state, you turn your nose up at that stuff. But these guys have had more success, made more money, and put more fannies and more seats in the last 5 years than any other comedy tour. Also, John Sally, not part of the Blue Collar Comedy Tour.
Was part of the NBA.
That's right. And Best Damn Sports Show is what he does. Funny, jovial. You know how most jocks are sort of funny for jocks? Like, they go, wow, that guy's really funny, but he's funny for a guy who used to play professional fill-in-the-blank.
Right.
Bob Uecker, funny for a guy who used to play professional baseball, but not funny if he's a comedian.
Yeah.
Right. He's a great Hollywood square.
Right. These guys. John Sally, funny for a guy.
Yeah, that's true. You know who makes me laugh? Not to go off on a tangent, but Charles Barkley.
Yeah, Charles.
I love him.
But not in a funny way.
Does make me laugh.
Really? No, he is funny. Yeah. He, in a Charles Barkley bigger than life kind of way, but he's good. I did the Bernie Mac show with him. Actually, I think it was, must have been about a year ago to the day. I said, where's that episode of me on Bernie Mac? And somebody said, boss, I am on it. And,
it's only been a year.
I co-starred in a episode of the Bernie Mac show, I think about 2 or 3 years ago, and Charles Barkley and I were on it, and we were on a talk show, and we got into like a racial argument, and there was some good stuff there. I've never seen the episode. I'm told it aired. I'm told it exists. I had my crack staff get on that baby, and now they're off it. And you know,
where's my phone, you fat F?
Not to make excuses, but if my sister's listening, you'll want to pay close attention, sis. Wednesday was my sister's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah, happy belated, which I told her on Thursday.
Oops.
When I called. Well, now here's the problem. And I know everyone can cry me a river, but when you have an assistant, you tell your assistant stuff, and then you move on.
Right.
You say, hey, my sister's birthday is Wednesday. You got to remind me. I got to get her something. And then you move on. Now, if your assistant doesn't remind you, you've moved on.
Yeah, I'm gone.
You've moved on. So there's a bunch of stuff where you go, hey, get that Bernie Mac tape. Hey, make sure I call my sister. We got to send something over to my sister. Then you move on. Now, you never look back. As long as stuff is on your plate, I mean, if you're your own shepherd, your own keeper, you keep, you know, if you're doing your own filing and your own taxes, your own whatever, fine. This is why a lot of celebrities get into tax trouble, for instance. They don't check stuff. They just say, oh, I thought you handled this. I thought you had this. Not blaming my assistant. He's a busy man. But, sis, if you're listening, this is what happened. On Monday, I said, hey, it's my sister's birthday. It's coming up on the 9th. We got to get her something. And then I bogged him down with a bunch of construction stuff, and we both forgot about it. I moved on. He moved on. And then the next day, I remembered, damn.
The good news is you're fired.
No.
Yeah, but you have so many siblings to keep.
I am telling you, I don't think I would have forgot her birthday if I didn't tell somebody to remind me.
I can see
it's
that.
It's her birthday.
Yeah.
There's a fair amount of that goes on in my life. But anyway, sis, sorry about that. All right, so we got...
John
Sally. Rutger Hauer.
Yeah, ooh. I'm a big fan.
I know him as a blind swordsman, but evidently does some acting as well.
I know him from Blade Runner, one of the greatest movies of all time, especially for a home theater.
I am sad to admit that I've never seen the entire Blade Runner straight through. Now,
kill yourself right now.
Here's my excuse.
Commie bastard.
Yeah, that's horrible. My excuse is I didn't see it in the theater. I know not why. What did it come out? 80, 79? Somewhere in there? Late 70s?
I'm gonna guess 81 or 82, I'm almost positive.
All right, 81, 82, early 80s. Somehow missed it in the theater. Back then, kiddies, that was it with stuff, unless you had pay-per-view channels or pay whatever. The Corollas, now are you sitting down? Did not have cable.
Huh.
So, and are you still sitting? No VCR.
No.
Yes. So that was kind of it, you know?
What?
Movies would come and go, you just wouldn't see them. And then I started seeing Blade Runner on my friends. Like, I'd be at their house, and it'd be HBO, but I'd watch 10 minutes of it and be like, all right, we're going to the party. We leave. And then somehow, by the time I got my own VCR, my own place or whatever, I was too far down the road. And everyone said what a great movie that movie was. It's a genre I don't normally like, and maybe that's what's kept me away from it.
It's like a Hemingway in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The way it's written.
Is it, what year does it take place? And is it one of those funny things?
1997?
Like,
I think it's fairly far in the future, but maybe just 2022.
Yeah, let's see.
There's flying cars. Like, it's fully in the future.
I know, but in 1981, they thought in 1989 we'd all be driving hovercrafts and wearing gray, shiny jumpsuits. They never really did do that math. I imagine they'll do the same thing. Yes.
2019. November 2019.
Right. So what, 11, 12 years from now? The flying car? We're still getting the same mileage we got in the VW van in 1963. All right. Well, anyway, John Sally, Rutger Hauer is going to be in here. Isn't there talk that he did porn movies or something like that way back in the day? Or am I making that up?
We'll find out.
Brian. Please stop pretending like you don't know. Bill Engvall from Blue Collar Comedy. And
Blade Rimmer.
Jimmy Kimmel is going to call in as well because we're trying to get Teresa set up. Teresa's not having a lot of luck in the dating department. Self-imposed bad luck, I would say.
Listen, I'm not exposed to a lot of new people.
I'll expose myself to you right now.
Really, I'm up at 4. I'm in bed at 8.
Well, our own Jimmy Kimmel has a friend of ours who I know fairly well from hanging out over at Kimmel's to when we watch football on Sundays, named Tall John. Why is he called Tall John? Because I think he's 6'8", maybe 6'9". I mean, he is a lot of man. Nice looking, nice guy. I love this guy. He's very shy, so we're going to see if we can get him set up with our own Teresa Strasser. All right, we're going to take a break. Let's see, Bill Engvall, I think when we come back. Also, we have bad reviews.
Yeah, we do.
That's fun.
I have my pick, man.
I can't remember how we got onto this, but for some reason we thought it'd be funny if everyone just brought in their worst review and read it.
I do. From The Hammer, you had 99 amazing reviews and one bad one, but that's the one that stuck in your craw.
Right. That's the way I work. That's why T and I are cut out of the same cloth.
True.
Kindred spirits. We date each other, but we hate ourselves too much.
We'll
take ourselves a quick break, and we'll have Bill Engvall and the horrible reviews next.
In theaters this weekend, Delta Farce, starring Larry the Cable Guy and Bill Engvall.
An international incident just waiting to happen.
One man's international incident is another man's preemptive strike in the war on terror.
Bill Engvall is on the Adam Carolla Show.
I think he'll be on in about 3 minutes, which is perfect because it's Friday, hence Cranky Anchors Friday.
Yay.
Back on MTV2. People seem to enjoy these calls. We're dipping back into our archives. This is our own Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, no, this is not Jimmy Kimmel. This is Tony Barbieri. Who's that? Friend of mine, wrote for the Man Show, now works on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. As Niles Standish, the sort of lord of Yankerville. And this is him getting an incoming call. At a certain point, we would put ads in newspapers and have people call us. Felt it was more authentic.
Hello.
Yes, I'm calling about your ad in the paper.
Which ad?
The receptionist.
And your phone number?
563. 563.
Go ahead. 563. 564. And your name? And your number?
563.
Please, your phone number, ma'am.
563.
And your name?
Dina.
And I need your phone number, please.
I just gave you my phone number.
I need the full phone number, Dina, please.
563.
Mm-hmm. Beep, 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 beep. Yes?
8-4.
Beep, 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 beep. All right, and you called about the receptionist job?
I called about the receptionist
job. All right, and when is your availability? When could you start?
What is the name of your company?
It's beep, 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 Enterprises.
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand you.
This is Dina?
This is Dina.
And you're calling about the...
Receptionist job.
Your name is Dina?
Dina.
All right, and I need a phone number, please.
563.
Mm-hmm. Continue. And your name is Dina?
Correct.
Can you spell that for me?
D-I-N-A.
Mm-hmm. And your phone number, please?
563.
And you're calling about the receptionist job?
Correct. And what is the name of your company?
It's Enterprises. Can I hear you say thank you for calling Enterprises?
It's a real person. I mean, it was weird, Tom. I kept repeating my name and number.
I have no idea what the f*** you're calling. What do you do that? Hello?
Hello? And what is your name, love?
Yeah, my name's Tom.
Hello, Tom. What can I do for you today?
Well, I want to know what your problem is.
I'm sorry?
I want to know what your problem is.
And you're interested in the job?
Not any kind of job you have.
You called about the receptionist job.
What's your phone number?
Yes, you called me.
What's your phone number?
My phone number is 702.
You call my house again, I'm going to call the police.
No police. I can't have a police. Listen to me, Tom. Listen to me well, all right?
What?
Let's talk. Let's talk turkey. Let's talk salary.
What's the name of your company?
The name of the company is... Enterprises.
Now, what's the enterprise?
We handle a lot of mutual funds, a lot of financial investments, a lot of issues, and not so much more. We make stock pickers.
And what's the address of your company?
We are located on Maryland Parkway,
Okay, you know what?
Are we on the same page?
I'm going to hang up. You call my house again, I'm calling for you.
It's great. We're all sitting in a recording studio in Nevada because it's illegal to do from California. And the average age of the male in the room is 37 and 9 months. And we're all just in the phone going, good times. Crank Anchors, everyone, on MTV2 tonight. Speaking of funny, Bill Engvall is on the phone. Bill?
Hey, Adam.
Great to speak to you. Say hi to Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser.
What's up, Bill?
Hi, Bill.
Danny, I haven't seen you since Chicago.
The band or the town?
It was that you were working the radio in Chicago at
yeah,
night.
I'm fairly hazy on my night job in Chicago, man.
Bill,
but I'm sure you're wonderful.
Bill, everyone knows you from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour and right. Movies and that kind of stuff. But how did you get started? When did you get started? How did you get hooked up with the crew and the tour and all that? And I'm looking at your card here, and it said started his career on designing women.
I guess you could say that, yeah.
I don't remember. Now, that was the show with Delta Burke and the rest of the ladies over there.
Annie Potts.
Which part were you? I'm trying to remember this.
I was Guy in Red Shirt. That was the name of my part. I only did one shot on that, but PR people put that on there just to make it look good.
Right, and you started out when and where?
Actually started out in stand-up in 1982, and I had met Foxworthy a few years later on the road, and we'd kind of become friends, and our paths kept crossing, and he was headlining, I was headlining, and then I moved out here, and he was already here, and I was getting ready to change management, and he said, why don't you talk to my guy, and then we got hooked up there, and then we kind of started going out on the road together and having a good time, and then we used to joke about it, the twilight of our careers, going out like Paul Revere and the Raiders and the Turtles doing car shows.
Right.
And
I don't know all that.
Yeah. And so we talked about it, we kind of got the same fan base, and so all of a sudden there came rise to the Blue Collar Tour, and we were supposed to only do 10 dates on that thing. It ended up going almost 4 years, and that's pretty much how that all got started.
Well, and before all this, what were you doing? What did you want to be like? When did you always want to do comedy? When you were in high school, where did you think you'd be now?
Oh, no, when I was in high school and stuff, I always wanted to be an actor. Stand-up just kind of showed itself to me, and I love it. I love doing stand-up. Because of the stand-up, the acting kind of got put on hold for a while, and I didn't know that it would eventually lead back to acting. I still love doing the stand-up. I love the live performance.
So Delta Farce out today, actually, right? Huge wide release. As far as I can tell, and we were talking to Larry the Cable Guy a couple days ago, right. Not much else in the comedy genre in the theaters these days. I mean...
No, not really. There has been a kind of a drought of it. And I'm glad you said that, because that's one of the reasons that I wanted to... I'm glad you were up to bring this up, because this is just a comedy. We're not making any statement on the... what's going on over there, pro or con. It's just a comedy.
Right.
And hopefully, in fact, we actually had the premiere of this at Andrews Air Force Base, and before it even got made, we were at Walter Reed Hospital doing a tour and visiting with the kids over there, and we asked them about the idea of what they thought about it, and they were like, oh, God, you got to do it. Because, it's like, these guys aren't even military. They just kind of somehow, they shoot stuff at this armory that the army thinks there's still people down there.
Where did you film the movie?
Right outside LA.
Oh, really? Just out in the desert out here?
Yeah, out where out by Six Flags.
Yeah, there was a funny Valencia area.
Yeah, way just out past that. There's we were in some when you see those car ads and there's that white white lake bed that they're always driving 100 miles an hour on.
Right.
We were on that, and then there was another area literally across, if you go inland from Six Flags, and it was it's a whole little area back then there where it looks like Mexico.
I was
going to explain what Six Flags is to people that aren't in LA. I forgot there's Six Flags in 87 states. We've only got Six Flags and 50 states.
Yeah.
There's a Six Flags everywhere.
Magic Mountain, by the way, was exactly to the inch as far away from my house as Disneyland was growing up, both well out of the range of the Corollas VW Squareback from 1961.
We're not going there.
It was like, how about we go to Magic Mountain? Too far. How about we go to Disneyland? Too far. Here's a ball of foil, son. Kick it around the yard.
Bill, what'd you guys do for fun growing up in Texas?
You know what? We were always outdoors. My dad always, because there wasn't cell phones and video games and all that. I mean, it was, you had to make your own fun. So, I loved a lot of horseback riding, and kind of grew up rural, and, I loved hunting, fishing.
It's a weird,
playing baseball.
You know, it's a weird thing as I think about for adults, which is we've made our life too comfortable, so somebody invented a treadmill so we wouldn't all get fat.
Right.
If the founding fathers could see us running on a belt and going nowhere, they'd probably be laughing their ass off.
They're pretty bright. I'll bet they had some concept that we would be running as fast as we could to get nowhere.
I thought they'd think it was, as a metaphor, but not literally.
Not literally.
But kids doing this seems bizarre to me. You know, kids are supposed to be out chasing each other around and riding bicycles and wrestling around. The idea that kids now are getting on treadmills is a weird concept.
Well, I agree. I think we have made our lives too convenient. I mean, it's, I remember as a kid in the morning, and especially in the summer, I mean, I would leave the house at 8 o'clock, and the only rule was you had to be back in by dinner. And I mean, I never came back. We were riding our bikes. We were playing baseball.
Yeah, you know, the other thing I always think about is whenever a dietitian speaks to anybody, they go, you got to start drinking at least 20 glasses of water a day. Like the first thing is start drinking water, drink water. Well, now everyone carries water, drinks it in their car, wouldn't leave the house without it. Mm-hmm. When we were kids, we just left the house. There was no water. And once in a while, somewhere, if it was really hot, you'd get a suck off someone's hose in the middle of the day.
And that leads into this thing. This is what our whole society has become this way. It's like it used to be, 10 years ago, you could drink tap water and we were all fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're like, oh, it's got mercury and all that, drink bottled water. Well, I got news for you. All bottled water is tap water in a bottle. I love when I see people buy a $3 bottle of water, drink it, and then go to the sink and fill it up again.
I used to, I could remember drinking out of the gas station hose on many occasions. And the thing about when it's really hot and it's 108 degrees out in the San Fernando Valley, the first 100 gallons that comes out of the hose tastes like the hose.
Yeah.
It is hose. I probably have more hose water in me than any man alive.
And did you ever remember?
It was always that hot water, right?
That's what I was going to say.
Hose water.
On summer days, you'd forget that stuff would come out scalding hot.
Yeah.
You think this is going to be refreshing?
Now, when I was a kid, although I've got, you know, the 5-second rule that most people have for food.
Oh,
if you drop
the floor.
Right. It's the floor, you have 5 seconds. I have the 5-second rule for drinks. I spill my drink on the shag carpet, I got five seconds to lap that baby up because that was a fine drink I made. I used to drink on a really, because we walked to school and it was a different time. It was about a mile each way. And from kindergarten, you could walk. And after the first grade, you could ride your bike.
Mm-hmm.
Like, today, they would never allow that.
Right.
I don't think. But if I'd get real thirsty, I'd drink right from the gutter.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, just laying down and go. Absolutely.
Well, your mind's already there.
I am the least germaphobe in the world. I scoff at your general diseases.
Well, yes. Go ahead, Bill. Because I'm now feeding my kids, who are only 11 months old, everything on the table because I don't want them to be allergic to this or have allergies or have that environmental allergies. Did you know a kid growing up that was allergic to peanuts or the carpet in his house or secondhand smoke?
Nope.
I used to go to my buddy Steve Hughes' house. Both his parents would be chain smoking and blowing it toward the kid, for Christ's sake.
Well,
he never had.
To drive around in our station wagon with the windows cracked and he had one of those ashtrays that had the little
bean bag on it. I've got one of those now.
Would he let you drive?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to the bean bag. Somebody invented it in like 1961. We fell in love with it, and now it's gone.
Yeah, now
I think it just got a bad PR. You know, it's like Valium.
It's certainly got a novelty thing to it. There's a club in Vegas that I help open called Polyesters. And what they are is they're
It's huge. There's a whole 70s club in there, an 80s club in there, a 90s club, and a new techno club, all in one building. And all that stuff you thought went to waste is in the 70s room.
Ah, that, there's...
The actual bar, which freaked me out because I'd been sober almost a year by then. This was recently. And that includes ecstasy, which I tried to get off the list and still count as sober.
Sure.
Take a little ecstasy and still count. But apparently you can't. There's rules. But the bar in the 70s room is the Partridge Family bus.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That just, that was like, you know, I walked in, and you know, of course, what they do. They turn and I think I'm going to be like, come on, get happy, right? And you walk in, and I, but a bar is a great thing because it's a barrier so you can get to talk to everybody instead of just the people that gather around you. You make drinks and move on to the next guy. So I'm a recovering drug addict, alcoholic, stuck back in the Partridge Family bus, pouring straight liquor. That had relapse. It said on the back, careful, relapsed alky driving.
Did you find Bill Engvall's dad's beanbag ashtray that kept
all
in
the place? Absolutely.
He was probably in there.
You know, it's you know your dad's a smoker when the 10-gallon ashtray that comes in the station wagon is not enough to hold you. You have to do a supplementary ashtray on the dashboard.
Well, you know, you're talking about things that changed. Apparently that's changed, too, because you remember that... The ashtray would be full. My dad never flicked a cigarette. He would put it out right there in the ashtray.
Right.
How do you believe they got coins in their ashtray and they flicked a cigarette out on
out the window?
Right.
The window, and we got fired.
Oh, we need to build a time machine and go back to Bill Engvall's childhood, everyone. Running free.
It's amazing. It'd be an amazing trip.
Nude on a horse in Texas. Riding until
going to the drive-in movie, watching John Wayne movies.
What did your dad do for a living?
He was a doctor.
Wow. Smoking doctor. Wow. I like that.
Oh, everybody smokes.
Good time.
Remember in the commercials for cigarettes, it'd be a doctor?
You know, Mike, I tell you, my kids gave me for Christmas last year just this great collection of the old radio mystery hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I love listening to these things. And I get so tickled because, like, there'll be Jack Webb doing a Dragnet episode, and they'll go, we'll be back after these messages from our sponsor. And he go, hi, folks, I'm Jack Webb, and... When I want a cool, refreshing smoke, I reach for Westchester.
Hey, if you watch the NFL Network and they go into their archives and they show some of the old footage after the Super Bowl in like 1969,
right.
There are players smoking
on the sideline,
giving interviews on the sideline. I mean, it's crazy.
Cronkite used to smoke when he did the news.
Oh,
Carson used to smoke while he did the show, and so did his guests. And several of his guests would come on with highballs. Like Dean Martin would come on with highballs.
A simpler time, everybody.
My favorite episode ever. Dean Martin and I think Frank Sinatra and a guy named George Gobles, who was very funny, by the way.
George Gobles was great.
Yeah, but he was kind of like the goof. You know, you got the Rat Pack and then this goof. And all they did was every time he would talk to Carson, George... Either Sinatra or Dean Martin would flick their cigarette in his drink.
Right.
And the audience would crack up, and Goebbels would think he was killing it. They took a big sip of his drink, and they did it the whole show. That was TV.
He ever once walk after the set would walk back to the go, guys, just once. Just once, could I have a drink without you putting your cigarette out
there? Heavy goal.
Delta Farce is the movie. It's coming out this Friday. That is today, everyone. Bill Engvall's in it, and of course, DJ Qualls is in it. Lisa Lampanelli, our good friend, is in it, as well as Larry
the
Cable Guy. God love Lisa Lampanelli. Bill, we'll be watching this weekend. Out today.
Great. Thank you, guys. That's always good talking to you. Danny, good talking to you again.
A pleasure, man. Nice seeing you again. Or hearing you again.
Good talk to you, Bill. Bill Engvall, good guy. Blue Collar Comedy, Delta Farce, out this weekend.
Yeah, a lot of those guys are good guys.
They all seem to be good guys. Yeah. We need to take a break. When we come back, the worst reviews. I don't know how we got onto this. We got onto it on Monday at some point. Danny has his worst. I have my worst. T has hers. We'll see who can outdo who.
It's going to be tough.
It'll be tough. We'll read our worst reviews next on The Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Here's what's coming up this morning with Program Director Jack Silver.
Everybody's working for the week. Hey, what up, peeps? Today we got former NBA star John Sally and from Blade Runner actor Rutger Hauer. Hey, if Jack Man can just get serious for a second. You know, this Sunday is Mother's Day. And this Mother's Day, I'd like to take a second to recognize all the single moms out there. Especially the ones who happen to live within a mile of this studio. I offer you a tip of my cap. And by cap, I mean penis. Silver, out!
Thank you, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, at some point, I decided it'd be funny if we all just brought in our worst reviews.
They are
I don't
funny.
Know why. I don't know why yet. Some of the most enjoyment I've got is over horrible reviews. I find I don't actually mind a bad review, but I've gotten a lot of confusing reviews where I thought maybe they were talking about somebody else or a different show or something like that. As I've said in the past, T has not many in the bad department. Danny has quite a few to go through.
Oh, my God.
We will start with you, Teresa Strasser.
All right. Well, I've been pretty lucky, but usually the bad ones are kind of, is it called a left-handed compliment?
Mixed. Yeah, or backhanded. Oh,
backhanded, yeah. Here's one from Salon.com, which is actually the same place that gave the hammer that review that you didn't care for. It starts out, okay, this is a review.
Well,
for...
that review said it was exactly the same as Rocky Balboa.
Right.
Which was a long, dramatic
right.
movie. This was a short comedy.
Yes.
They both had boxing in
right.
mind, but it couldn't possibly be the exact same movie when they were so totally different.
Exactly. This one says, this one's about a show I was on called While You Were Out. And it says, unlike the Trading Spaces crew, fresh scrub do-gooders who eagerly plunge into their work, While You're Out's ensemble seems to look down their noses at their daily assignments. Host Teresa Strasser, now Liz, here's where it starts out nice, is a raven-haired, good,
mm-hmm.
quick-witted hipster, also
mm-hmm.
good,
mm-hmm.
with an acid tongue,
mm-hmm.
the kind of person who might make Morden jokes at funerals.
What jokes at
morbid?
Oh, I see.
Morden jokes at funerals.
Is morbid like morbid?
Yes.
Jokes at funerals.
Yes.
All right.
That wasn't very nice. Now, here is where things really turn south. When I did How to Get the Guy, there's just a few highlights of the reviews of that show. Now, I was no one really called me out by name for the first few that I read that were bad
mm-hmm.
From the Post, New York Post, a ridiculously
okay,
cloying,
time has passed.
A ridiculously cloying, wrong-headed reality show. And then How to Get the Guy doesn't have to worry about a slow ride. It starts out about as low as you can go. Then, on to me. It's, one review said, How to Get the Guy. Here's an idea that already busted once as TLC's Date Patrol, and that version was much better. How to Get the Guy is so earnest and upright that it creaks. Co-host Teresa Strasser, a ride to light on While You're Out, seems like a mannequin here. The day after this debuted, I declared it the worst primetime show in network history.
Wow.
Not bad.
That was from what publication?
That was from, the Orange County Register.
Mm-hmm. Worst network show in history.
Yeah, and declaring me a mannequin. And then Entertainment Weekly called me incessantly vacant once.
I've gotten a few bad reviews. Normally, they don't like you as much as not like your work. Always know they're in a bad mood when they start off as... Adam Carolla, best known as being Jimmy Kimmel's sidekick.
Right.
That always means they've started, the claws have come out early.
You know what?
Yeah.
I haven't known you long enough to see any of that. I've never seen you written up as Jimmy Kimmel's sidekick.
Oh, when the review is going to be bad, it'll do that. It'll definitely.
That tips you off.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as far as the backhanded, whatever, recently there was a review in Sports Illustrated for my movie The Hammer. And it said, started off with the best known as Jimmy Kimmel's sidekick, then went on to say at the end, which is the backhanded compliment, but this movie is funny, which Carolla normally isn't. So it's a nice review for the movie. It's just I'm not normally funny. And then it's kind of hard to argue with people say you're not normally funny because you're like, what do you mean? I'm funny almost all the time, except for now when I'm arguing about not being funny. I also, when I did my home improvement show, got one of those TV Guide picks.
Yeah.
Like, this is the pick of the week. And it said, this is the best home improvement show on television, which contrasts nicely to his talk show, which is the worst talk show on TV. So it was like, thanks for the thumbs up,
fellas. That couldn't be more backhanded.
Right. Wow. Danny, what do you have in the good, or I should say the bad, review department? Where to start?
I had to pick because remember, like, Outbook August?
Right. Mm-hmm.
We had to pick in degrees. It was like, was he on the phone? Was he in the studio? Did he reveal something? Mine's mm-hmm. the same way for this. I have to go with the paper or genre itself, which is I went with the New York Times.
All right.
That's pretty big.
Right.
But they hated me so much, they used 3,000 words to get to it. And the best part for me was, as a compliment, they said, for better or for worse, and we mean worse, Danny Bonaducci has changed the face of television forever.
That's nice.
Now, that's what I do. Yeah, well, they hated me for it. They said they've done it, you know, they said they'd rather see live executions. They said that in the New York Times. But it took too long, so I'm going to go with another good one that really counts, I think, is Variety, because they get right to the point.
Mm-hmm.
Ready?
All right.
In Danny Bonaducci, VH1 has found the epitome of train wreck TV. A narcissist with anger management problems who attempted suicide by slitting his wrists during production. With that kind of raw material, his heavily produced reality show delivers its share of compelling moments, which doesn't address the ethical consideration of giving someone with this kind of serious issues, and that's to be polite, this kind of self-incriminating showcase. Bonaducci talks a lot about the show, about his loving his children, but his career-climbing preoccupation has exposed the father to a very harsh light. So much for the new wave of feel-good reality TV. The one-time partner Family Child star's pathetic plight and his poor wife Gretchen represent yet another seemingly endless parade of celebrities and near celebrities enlisting their shot at unscripted TV. Few, however, have been so obliging when it comes to going the extra image deflating mile to deliver drama. Danny and Gretchen will be allowed, have allowed their marital counseling to be featured as the central component of the program. The impetus here is he had an extramarital affair, which he discussed on the radio program. Clearly lacking a filtering system to keep anything shielded from the public. Bonaducci recently lost his L.A. hosting gig after the show hit a stint while he was in rehab. And it goes on the last thing. Let me just scroll down here. Because there's such a nice one here where it just says, in the first installment, Danny's trip, oh, that's where I was a nice guy. I went to L.A., went to Vegas and didn't cheat on my wife. Bonaducci's, you'll love this. With Bonaducci's nails on a chalkboard voice, his employment in radio has always been something of a mystery to me. Yet, the notion that the excesses chronicled here cost him that position only adds to the level of melancholy to this already rather sad exercise, even allowing for the level of stage management that goes with Bonaducci being credited among the show's 9 executive producers. For all that, Bonaducci's personal implosion has generated the kind of advanced publicity that can easily render the show a huge hit, even by cable standards. Not only should the curiosity factor be high, but the series joins the all-time has-been night that includes My Fair Brady and original episodes of VH1's Surreal Life. And I think it says they wish I would die somewhere. Oh,
that is harsh.
Oh, yeah. They literally wish for my death in this one. And in the New York Times one, they say they would rather see, they say, we wondered what would be next on reality television. We always thought it would be live executions, but it's not. It's Danny Bonaducci, and it's more disgusting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mission accomplished. Wow.
And that's just one. If it says Google bad reviews, and we'll do that, there are 1,100. 1,100 bad reviews.
You probably have a lot of good reviews as well.
Yeah, the 11.
The, I have my, I've had a lot of bad ones, too. As again, I say I'm minus 7 stars. I've gotten minus 4 stars. I've gotten minus 3 stars. I'm 7 stars in the hole. So if I do a TV show tomorrow that gets 4 stars, I'm still minus 3 stars. That's the way I look at it. This one is from a very well-known reviewer, Tom Shales.
Oh, yeah, the Washington Post?
Yeah, he's syndicated. He's all over the place. And I would assume gay by one of the statements he mentions in this. You'll you'll know it when you hear it. Yes. Oh, it's all bad. the man shows a hapless reactionary fun fest. But I'll skip ahead to it's a kind of a talk. This is of the man show in 1999. It's a kind of a talk variety half hour co-hosted amateurishly by like-minded clods, Adam Carolla and Jimmy Kimmel.
Wow.
I'll skip ahead to, they think they're exalting the primal pleasures of being a male by referring to women as broads and belching on camera. You know, the thing about the Man Show is, first off, most of the stuff, most of the sketches and things really didn't have that much to do with beer or sports. And then secondly, Jimmy and I were always the butt of the joke.
Right.
We were always the ones that got turned down by the juggy chicks at the end. We never came out on top. It was us going to wrestling camp and getting our ass kicked
right.
by pro wrestlers. It was me going to try out for the LA Raiders and getting my ass kicked by football players. It was constantly us getting our ass kicked. Most of the people who thought of the Man Show as the misogynistic, you know, fun fest never saw the show. We never got the girl or scored the winning touchdown.
Right.
It wouldn't have been funny.
Right, of course not. You can't go out there with the hot chicks and then win them, because that's not the Man Show.
Right.
Because you gotta get the hot chicks, you get shot down.
Right. Well, anyway. Let's see. The show just falls and fizzles and flops horribly. This is not so much a show as it is a car crash.
Hey! Yeah.
Corolla already has a disreputable series on the air. It's MTV's Loveline. See, here's how you know they don't like you. Because they're reviewing the Man Show and they start heading toward other things that you do. So now they're going to get into MTV's Loveline. A late night talk show in which viewers phone in for advice about their sexual problems. A smugly preening Dr. Drew attempts to answer their questions. See? Underline attempts there.
It's just something about you coming up.
Dr. Drew smugly preening. I love it when others get sucked in with the friendly fire, too. And the thing about Dr. Drew...
Oh, he took some friendly fire for you.
Dr. Drew did Loveline for over 10 years on the radio for free. For free.
No.
For free.
Just to help people.
Just to help people. And the smugly preening Dr. Drew attempts to answer questions. So the smugly preening Dr. Drew attempts to answer the questions while Corolla croaks out Neanderthal-in gags. Gag would suggest like a pratfall
right.
or something that I'd plan in advance. Really, I just sat there and attempted to answer the questions like Drew did and move it along.
Right, and get money, though, unlike Dr. Drew.
Right. Whole thing is a wallowing exercise in communal embarrassment that makes a Jerry Springer show look like a Harvard seminar.
Oh, my God.
Now he's on. He's now gone away from the Man Show, and he's on to my other show, which is a Loveline. Lacking showmanship. That might be the tip on the gay part right there.
Oh,
lacking, okay. Straight guys don't talk so much in the year 2000 about showmanship on basic
and cable. Show tunes.
Lacking showmanship, taste, cleverness, class, and even simple telegenic visual appeal.
Wow.
I.e., Corolla's a creep.
Wow.
Not good enough to do comedy on cable.
That's awful.
Hey, I'm no Jeff Ross, but I'm all right in the looks department.
That's crazy.
By the way, it is a weird thing when you're, and this is the second gay tip-off, by the way, when you're reviewing a cable comedy show, and whether you're Drew Carey or Carlos Mencia or the aforementioned Jeff Ross or Lisa Lampanelli.
If you're Mencia, you just use Drews.
You look like
Drew. Go right after Drew and follow him.
Comedians not known for their looks. That's why they're not doing soaps. They got into comedy. But he delves very much into the Ace Man's physical appearance.
That's the thing. When they do your physical appearance, I think they're so out of line. I got a review in Australia for my stand-up comedy act. Mm-hmm. And they said, first we were surprised how short it was. It being Danny Bonaduce. That's how it started.
Well, did that hurt your feelings?
No, I'm pretty aware how tall I am. It's like I take pictures with those big chicks in heels, and they always scoot down, and I go, stand back up. I'm used to my height. Be tall. It makes me look cool. I'm okay with that. But then they went into the act and just how much they hate. And they just hated me.
Shales continues to say, Corolla is perhaps the perfect symbol of the now age of anybody can be on TV.
Wow.
Feels good. He looks like he's reached a third or fourth plateau in poor Larry Talbot's transformation into a werewolf. So this guy who's supposed to be reviewing the Man Show
as reviewing your appearance.
Has left Kimmel far behind, moved on to my other TV show, and now is going to dedicate a few paragraphs to my looks. Now, look, kiddies, I don't like to brag, but I was in decent shape. I was a young man. I was in my early 30s back then and was not had nothing wrong with me physically.
I would have been emotionally demolished having read this for about 3 days. Yeah.
Well,
I wouldn't have come back.
Here's the thing. I don't want to sound like a jackass, but I will. If I wasn't 6'2", 189 pounds, in very good shape, and could nail almost every chick and almost every bar because I was on MTV for 9 hours a night and then on Comedy Central, I definitely would have hung my head. If there was a part of me that looked in the mirror and saw a very unattractive, ugly, short, squatty, fat person who couldn't find a date, I would have definitely hung my head. But as a guy,
I realized he was standing behind me.
As a guy, you can call whoever. You can call, you know, you hear Tom Likas. People call up like, Tom, you're fat and you're bald and you're ugly. He's like, I don't care. I'm getting laid. You know, as a guy, when you're on MTV and you're on MTV for an hour every night, you get to go to any bar during any spring break anywhere, and there's 100 20-year-old chicks will go home with you.
Yep.
And as a guy, I don't care how thin your hair gets or how big your gut gets. That's about it. That's bottom line.
Yep.
We don't care what we look like. We don't care what gay reviewers think of us. We care what single chicks or unsingle chicks think of us. And that's about it. And if they'll go home with you, your ego is intact, and they would back in the day. But no, it became comical to me that this guy was doing nothing but focusing on my appearance. But then secondly, I don't know if there's a Hippocratic oath you take as a reviewer or something, but when reviewing a basic cable comedy show, one should not focus on the aesthetics of one of the guys in the duo and then ride that off into the sunset. I would not argue. I would argue that's not a great review.
Yeah, it's people not about the content.
People read the review so they can figure out whether they want to see the movie or not.
Yeah.
This is you doing a restaurant review, and you never stop focusing on the color the bathroom was painted.
Right, or the chef's pants that are now not white anymore, but they're like gym pants, black and white striped, red and white striped. It's like, you know what? The color scheme of the chef's outfit ruined the souffle for me.
Yes, listen, Homola, stick to the plates. I want to know whether to eat there or not.
By the way, I just realized at the very bottom, because I just felt I was running long because they really hated my show. The guy from Variety said, I don't think so, a whole box of soap can wash the filth of breaking Bonaducci off me. I just remember that because Gretchen wrote him a long and funny letter and sent him a box of soap. And he printed it in the paper that she had done it. And what a decent sport. He should have said, even a case of Jack Daniels couldn't have made me feel better about the show. So the next day, she sent him a case of Jack Daniels, and he said, apparently this woman is going to keep this up. I have to stop now and apologize. These are obviously fun people. But he hated the show.
I would have said, apparently, I couldn't drive away from this train wreck with a brand new Denali SUV. And then waited in my driveway.
Two bottles of Vicodin wouldn't take away the pain.
Yes. All right. Well, there you go. You see, kiddies, no matter where you are, there's always a critic somewhere just around the corner. Wolfman, a creep.
Yeah, incessantly vacant.
Oh, boy.
More disgusting than live executions.
Well, there you go. That's
what
makes
trio
up your morning show. Yeah.
You know,
enjoy.
We couldn't find any of the ones for this morning show because I know personally I took such a humiliating beating at first that they'd have been worth playing.
But now.
But I actually put in Breaking Bonaducci because I knew everybody hated that.
T.
Yes.
The news that everyone hates so much.
We're going to talk about Paris Hilton. Terrible news. A sexually transmitted disease is now linked to throat cancer and a hooker tax in Germany.
Yeah. Can I get a goddamn break?
And?
A hooker tax in Germany.
Good times. Oh, Bonaducci.
Just shoot me now. Yeah. Throat cancer and sexually transmitted diseases and my sauerkraut-eating hooker friends are going to cost me money and give me my diseases.
On bedazzlers. This just in. We'll take a quick
I'm
break.
Killing myself.
We'll be back with or without Danny next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, the
The Adam Carolla Show presents the award for Blowhard of the Week.
A top model can't just be pretty and take a pretty picture. She's got to be able to sell products, do interviews, and have David Letterman and Diane Sawyer and even Tyra sometimes interview you and be able to understand what the heck you're saying.
Because of your tireless quest to always make it about you, Tyra Banks, you are our Blowhard of the Week. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I ain't done.
We're watching videos of Danny biting a man in the head.
Before I bit the guy, you must admit, that was a nice right bare knuckle right to the jaw.
Yeah, he punched a guy.
Guy goes to push me, and you're not playing with the right guy. I told him, with gloves on, there are rules. I told him before this started. I said, you touch me. Oh, here he comes again. He's going to get the worst of this. Watch this. Watch what I grab here and march him around the
you
room.
You can watch this on AdamCarolla.com because we will link to it, I presume.
Okay. Now watch, he'll start Adam, screaming. This is radio. Screaming. Now watch what I got. Look at his hand. Now he's marching around by the sack.
Wow. This is you boxing some DJ?
No, this is me talking about boxing some DJ. And he said he wanted to hurt me. And I said, give it your best shot. Let's just go a game. We'll still fight, but I got a game. You just punch me in the face as hard as you can right now, bare knuckled with my hands in my pockets. And I have 60 seconds to regain my composure. And then it's my turn. And then we just keep doing that till somebody can't get back up. And then we'll heal up and fight June 1st. And then he shoved me like a girl, so I knocked him out.
And did you actually bite into his flesh?
Bleeding all over the place.
You bit his cheek.
Yeah, no, I bit his, he's bald. I bit his forehead till he bled. Ugh,
come on.
I told him flat out, I follow the rules. You get into a ring with gloves, I think you're a man, and I will fight you by the Marcus of Queensberry rules. You touch me with no gloves on your hands, that's a fight. I'll blind you. So he's lucky I only bit his head.
Now, do you think Marcus of Queensberry, was Queensberry some sort of gay retreat back in days of yore?
Was it a yogurt shop in
Queensberry
West Hollywood?
Queensberry sounds like, yeah, get a little soft swirl with some jimmies on there. We're going down to Queensberry?
It's always a line at the Queensberry on a hot day.
Yeah, stay away from the clear stuff. It's supposed to be pina colada, but just take my word.
Even though it was bare-knuckled right after that push, How would you rate that right to his chin?
Danny threw a very nice overhand right to the Marcus of Queensberry's chin, knocked him down in the press conference.
Boom! I mean, he's 200 pounds, and he went kaboom.
Here's the thing. You can see this. You can go to AdamCarolla.com. I think
within
we'll get it
up there.
Within
a few minutes.
Yeah. Go to AdamCarolla.com. We'll get a link going up there. But you can see for yourself. And this is not a bunch of radio talk. This is good stuff.
Yeah, it's good footage, too.
And we couldn't turn it up so you could hear it. When I bite his head, he starts screaming, and then he comes from behind me and puts me in a headlock, and I go, you really want to play? And I just grabbed his testicles as hard as I could and just squished him, and I go, how do you like this? And he starts screaming like a maniac.
So this fight is June 1st.
June 1st, I believe in the San Diego Sports Arena, but it's on a real fight card. I'm on an undercard. This is a real fight.
Oh, really?
And POD is playing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a big, big, big event. There should be 7,000 to 10,000 people there.
Good times.
And I'm going to maul this guy. And the cool part is, with gloves on and stuff like that, there'll be none of who's tougher, because I am. That's all there's to it. He had no idea that was going to happen to him. Mm-hmm. He like thought somebody might grab somebody, head on, roll around or whatever. He had no idea. I'd knock him out with the first punch and then bite his face.
Hey, Danny.
Yeah.
Far be it for me to tell you how to live your life, but you have 3 16-ounce energy drinks in front of you. I mean, you literally have 55 ounces of caffeine and jojoba in front of you. How many of those do you go through and what's up?
I just brought them to work today in the refrigerator. I'm just restocking.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to sit here and drink these all in the middle of the show.
You are beaked, brother.
No, but because it's an unsanctioned fight, I expect to go in on, I don't know, I've never tried it before, so I'm going to guess. 2-3 grams of speed.
Ah.
Just beat him to death before.
Now, wait a minute. As a sober guy.
Yeah, truthfully, I won't be on anything, obviously. Uh-huh. And there's a doctor and there's all that stuff. But I think just with rules, with gloves, there's rules, and I'll follow them. I'm a gentleman. I really am. But I told him flat out, you say all your bad stuff. That's how you sell tickets. I'm fine with it. You won't make me mad. I won't get up. I won't touch you. But don't touch me. I've been touched in anger, even fake anger, all I ever will be. That's a daddy reference, I guess.
Right.
And he touched me the second his hands touched my body, because I'm not big enough to be polite and wait around. The second his hands touch my body, I just scoop his hands my way. And boom, straight right to his jaw, and down he goes.
Well, you can watch it on AdamCarolla.com.
And then buy tickets. It's in San Diego. It's our sister station. It's some loudmouth on our sister station, some Sunday boxing analyst that thinks he can fight and said stuff about my wife when I told him not to.
Right. So you can go to, you can, well, I don't know. Where do you get the tickets?
I don't know. Are we 103? What are we in San Diego? I want to make sure. To do it right. It's 103.1 and
103.7. I'm almost
103.7 in San Diego. Go to their website, do whatever. But this should be interesting. I don't know if it'll be as interesting as biting this guy's head till I fill my mouth with his own blood. I hope he didn't have been to German hookers lately, because who knows what I might have.
Well, T.
But it's bitches.
Yes.
And D. All right, so you go to AdamCarolla.com. You can see the footage of that. I'm trying to think. You know what I think? You know, we're a little behind. We're going to get further behind. I love doing the news. I think I want to take a break, catch up, and then give the news the time it deserves.
No, we can do. We have like 3 minutes in the segment. We play Crank Anchor's call if you want.
All right. Why don't we do that? Why don't we go down to the bottom of the list here, Bri, and play Elmer, our own Jimmy Kimmel. He's going to rent a tuxedo for his dead brother's funeral. Crank Anchor's.
Thank you for calling Tuxedo Shop. This is Marianne. How can I help?
I'm calling about the tuxedo. A rent.
Okay. Did you, what was your special event?
I want to rent it for my brother, Charlie.
Okay. Well, our prices start at $49.95 and then gradually go up depending on the type of tuxedo.
Something snazzy.
Okay.
Yeah, my brother, Charlie, he's a beautiful man.
Oh, I'm...
But he was looking to rent him a tuxedo for his funeral.
Okay. Well, if you'd, like to go ahead and get his measurements and then call
it. What I'd like to do is get him into this here tuxedo before we bury him.
Okay, yeah. I don't really think I can rent you a tuxedo. I'm sorry. If you'd like to come in and buy one,
it's cheaper to rent them, right?
Not for all eternity, it wouldn't be. It, yeah, we couldn't rent you one and then have you bury him with it on.
You're not going to live forever. My own. You can't take it with you. I want to rent it and then never give it back.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
How come?
Well, if you rent it, then you have to return it. And not only that, but I'm not exactly sure that my boss would be real pleased with me if I rented one to someone that wanted to put it on a...
I'll bring it back then. Oh, wink, wink.
No, I'm sorry, sir. If you would like to come in and buy one.
And I want the finest tuxedo you got there.
Sir, I'm sorry, but I
won't. The top of the line.
I won't
Nothing's
be able to rent
Nothing's too good
one,
for my you know? Brother, Charlie.
Okay, and, you know, I understand
Died of
that.
A broken heart.
Okay, well, I can sell
he
you one.
He was hit by a Cadillac convertible.
Okay, well, I can sell you a tuxedo, sir, but I won't be able to rent you.
My brother was a ventriloquist in his day. He had a dummy, and his name was Little Charlie.
Okay, sir.
And they did an act together on vaudeville called Charlie and Little Charlie. They were the best comedy team in the world.
Sir, I can't help you. I'm sorry. I can't.
I miss my brother. Help me, Miriam.
I'm sorry, sir, but I can't.
Darling, Charlie said to me before he died, rent, rent, always rent. My brother Charlie's last wish was to be buried in a tuxedo.
Okay, well, we can't rent you in a tuxedo if you're going to... bury the person in it.
You could, darling. You could do it.
Sir, I actually have to go now. I'm sorry.
Okay, darling. I have to go, too, because my colostomy bag is full.
Bye-bye.
This is the only thing.
Get your tuxedo, Charlie. And we're never going to give it back.
The only thing I'm looking forward to about aging is now I start talking. You have about 4 to 6 seconds to make sense before people go, hello, boring. Yeah, what's going on? I can't tell you. You know, I'm a gabber. Maybe you didn't know that.
I swear to God.
And I'll tell stories that are long-winded, and you better get to it. It better be funny early and often. Right. So, really, when I go on my rants, my daughter wakes up and starts doing this behind me. So what ends up happening is I start off with a serious conversation, and I'm like, listen, if those a-holes in New York think for one goddamn hot second that the H-Man is going to dance for... And then Natalia starts going, ah, blah, blah, and then my wife starts laughing in the middle of my... But I'm looking forward to getting older because you can tell any story you want for as long as you want, and no one ever goes, hey, old man, cut to the chase. You'll never tell an old person to move it along because they got one foot in the grave. You're going to be there soon, too. You know they're not tracking very well. You get to wear pajamas wherever you want. You can tell stories as long as you want, and no old guy starts in with a story about back in the day. Come on, let's get to it, Pops. Let's go. The meter's running. You just sit there, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Something to look forward to. Something for us all to look forward to. All right. Mark is a Queensberry, by the way. Scottish nobleman, late 1800s, publicly endorsed boxing rules. So not a froyo place, as originally thought.
Since you brought that up, do you mind if I plug it?
Yeah.
It's you can get tickets at www.ticketmaster.com or San Diego Sports Arena. Tickets available now. Keyword Bonaducci or POD. Also, helmet has been signed. It's rock and roll boxing. Yeah.
Wow.
It's
like, June 1st.
This is wild. Yeah.
June 1st, yeah. San Diego.
So please come on down. This should be truly amazing.
And go to adamcarolla.com to see
this poor bastard bleed all over the place.
The impressive footage from the news conference. All right, quick break.
Thanks, Adam.
Then the news. No problemo when we come back.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
No wire hanger ever.
If you said, Mommy Dearest.
No wire hangers ever!
You're correct. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
It was a simpler time when that movie was advertised as sort of a horror movie.
Yeah.
The big thing was no wire hanger. Like, why? You going to give me a timeout, bitch? You know, I mean, it was like that was a horror movie. Now everyone is being, you know, put in a chamber and ritualistically tortured in some basement in Belgrade. But back then, no, you just couldn't screw with closets, evidently. T.
Yes.
What's going on in the news?
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
A 4,000-acre fire continues to burn on Santa Catalina Island this morning.
All right, barbecue with Bonaducci.
Now, just when the fire in Danny's neighborhood looks like it's under containment, a fire is breaking out on Catalina Island where he has a gig this weekend.
You know why? Because I'm red hot in advance.
You're going to be in Catalina this weekend.
Tomorrow.
And it's on fire.
Well, yeah. It is
on
fire.
Lots of barbecue, dude. Get me a longer stick.
Right.
Well, more than 3,000 people have been forced to leave island.
I always think of the island because there's Avalon,
which
is basically nothing. It's a few shops, and now they allowed the Wrigley family. It's a gift from the Wrigley family, the whole island.
Right.
But it's got to be conserved. So I just think if there's a brush fire, it's on the other side of the island that no one will see. I didn't know Avalon was on fire and people were evacuated. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make jokes.
Yeah, no. Well, fortunately, no one's been injured so far. One firefighter, I think, suffered some inhalation who was in stable condition. But, 3,300 people evacuated as of now. That leaves about 1,700 people on the island still. 300 firefighters were fighting the blaze. That's expected to be 700 firefighters by 8 a.m. this morning.
Catalina would be a weird place to live.
It would.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you're living on an island, but you're right off Los Angeles, and there's buffaloes and golf carts.
Yeah,
they have some cars, I guess.
I wanted to live there a lot.
I could dig it, but I'm worried. Like, here's the whole thing. There's this part of me that it's like it's all relative kind of thing, which is... If you live in Catalina, then where do you vacation? I've made this mistake, and it's another one of those Cry Me a River Corolla. We should do a segment. But I have dialed my life in now, so much so, with my down comforter and my TiVo and my plasma TV and my fine sports car, that when I travel, it sucks.
Right.
Now, yeah. When I slept on a futon with the Wheeze and I had foil up on the windows and it was 103 degrees in my room and I had a bad oscillating fan going back and forth, I would go to a Motel 6 and I would fall onto the bed and do a make a snow angel on top of it and then dance a jig. It was so exciting to have cable TV and a queen size bed. Now it blows. Why? Well, it's all relative. If you lived in Catalina and you lived on an island and you led that life, I just feel like everything else would suck compared to it. Thus, you should stay a little bit hungry.
Well, I will tell you this, although the last letter in this meeting is A, which stands for anonymous, but it's an island with 1,500 people, and there's 11 meetings a week.
Really?
Island time might be cool, but sometimes you might run out of stuff to do. Would be my guess.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Or maybe if you're in recovery, you want to move there.
I hadn't thought of that, but I don't think so. What you get is that if you're having a problem, and I guess this could be considered a public service announcement, you can just call the Central Office of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they will send you a directory for your area. It's like the little yellow pages.
Right.
And it goes by days and then cities in alphabetical orders. And Catalina Island has at least two a day, every day, 7 days a week.
So does living on the island make you drunk, or do people go there to escape their past?
That is a lot of meetings.
I'm guessing when there's one clothes shop and a souvenir shop for every 27 bars, I'm thinking you go there to get drunk.
Good times.
I don't think I've ever been there sober.
I certainly haven't.
Well, this will be your first time. Well, that's right. It's going to be on fire.
Right.
That's okay. I'm sober. I can have on a fire.
Well, hopefully the firemen will have some luck today containing the fire on Catalina. Meanwhile, in the world of entertainment, speaking of drinking, Paris Hilton, you may have heard there's a petition directed to the governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, asking that she be pardoned from her sentence of 45 days in jail for violating her probation by driving with a suspended license. Now, finally, this got to the governor, and he had a response.
Are you going to be pardoning Paris Hilton?
I've never gotten a request, but I have many more important things to think about.
Gotcha. Here's the deal. If you do want to not go to jail, I guess you can make an argument of, I have kids to look after, I'm the sole provider for the family, things like that. She has nothing. She has a toy poodle and a convertible with a lease payment to make. She will not be missed. There's no work she needs to do. There's no kids she needs to feed. There's nothing. Just a little exit needs to be done and another DUI that won't be written out.
She'll actually get prison issue underwear.
Yeah, they do.
Which she could use. Yeah. I would say that I have seen her vagina certainly more times this year than my wife's. And
wow.
I don't even think showing Paris Hilton's private parts qualifies for the word private anymore. It's just parts. You should be able to go to a parts store and get it.
Yeah.
That's what do you want? I want a carburetor and some spark plugs and Paris Hilton's vagina, please. Thank you.
Yeah, public
parts. Parts store.
Well, according to the Los Angeles Times, she could end up serving less than half of her 45-day sentence.
According to the Los Angeles Times and Danny Bonaducci.
Yes, if she combines good behavior and the prison needs room. But still, half of 45 days, 20-odd days, that's a significant amount of time in the slammer.
For her, and let's not forget, when you get a little bit older, you can put some perspective on things, time especially. I remember when I was in high school and they'd say, hey, Easter breaks in 2 months. And I'd be like, good Christ, I'm going to kill myself. That day will never come. When you get a little bit older and somebody says, yeah, it's going to be over the summer, it's upon you almost immediately. Right. She's young. She's used to having a good time. These days will pass very slowly for her.
I'll tell you, rehab seemed like a lifetime.
Right.
First of all, you got no booze.
30
Huge
days.
Huge drawback right there.
Yeah. Yes.
Then it's people you've been thrust upon and have been thrust upon you.
Right.
And you don't necessarily like them. And their stories of why they drink or their life is so effed up get rated by the other drunks. Mm-hmm. And then you get rated for how you treat the other drunks and their story. Like, because everybody is equal in their own drama. And it is fairly true. I mean, it's almost always the same thing. The big thing is they lost their job, their dignity, their home, their family, their kids. I haven't talked to them in years. It's quite sad. Girls cheated on their husband, lost their job, same kind of thing, but also wake up with strangers. Happens to be the big shame thing of being a female drunk for the most part.
But it's kind of interesting because I go to, like, really poor people meetings. And then just to go see, I will go to, like, the rich people meetings in Brentwood. Mm-hmm. And the story is exactly the same. Alcohol's real. If you can't drink, like, if you can't hang like me, you just shouldn't.
I go to the CA meeting in West Hollywood.
Just watch everybody move around.
A lot of hot, a lot of hot chicks.
See, I go to the CAA meeting, but they won't let me in.
They won't let you in.
Not the CAA meeting.
Oh, this, wait a minute.
CAA. Oh, Creative Artists. The agency CAA.
Joke, sorry.
I got right. It. Took me a second. All right, now, Danny, this hasn't been...
Yeah, my fault, go.
You should sue him for that second.
As if this hasn't been a hard enough morning for you, what with Catalina on fire. A new study out of Johns Hopkins says that people who perform oral sex on more than five partners in their lives are 250% more likely to get throat cancer.
Can I use your calculator?
Now, here's why.
Give me a why.
You've heard of HPV, human papillomavirus.
Sure.
That's the STD that's responsible for cervical cancer or many forms of cervical cancer.
Right.
Now they think it's linked to throat cancer because it can be passed orally.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've performed oral sex more than five times, and I assume that means on more than five partners, your risk goes up 250%.
Or in my case, 25,000%.
Really?
And I think I might have dropped it out. Maybe 250,000%.
Wait a second. You mean you've... Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
That's just with the five part. I've been with about 500 chicks.
Right.
So you times that by five, right?
Right. See, I've got to imagine, already, though, there's others.
The STD is now eating my brain, and I can't figure this out. So I've definitely got it.
I've got to imagine there's not a perfect correlation, though, between partners and oral sexual partners.
Well, we do have some audio of Danny performing oral, by the way.
I don't know why. You know, that kind of sounds pleasant.
You could go... Like I told the guy I smacked the other day, there are certain things you can go for that will bother me. My abilities in that area are not one of them. I know that for some reason Howard Stern feels like he cornered the market on the word lesbian. Like when I first got in radio, I'd say, you know, these lesbians, everybody go, hey, you're stealing Stern's act. And I'm thinking, you know, I like chick on chick way before Howard invented it. Well, the same thing with this. I'm not really well endowed. Mm-hmm. I'm okay, but nothing great. Mm. So I do all the work first. I make sure all the hard work, and the girl is like completely, like almost... Please, my head's going to explode, and then I take a minute of her time on my own.
Napoleon complex, not great out of the bedroom, but right. inside the bedroom, a windfall for the ladies.
But you have to turn that hat really sideways and get your hand out of your shirt.
Right. Yes. Wearing those riding pants.
You'll get your bad at that.
With high boots.
Remember those like woodpecker things that would dip into the water and fill and go back up and down?
Yeah.
That's what it'd be like if you forgot to turn your Napoleon hat around.
We threatened to replace Brian with one of those just the other day.
Now, did you guys know that back in 2002, Germany legalized prostitution?
No, I did not know that.
Well, since then, the industry has exploded, and the German Institute for Economic Research, the German Institute for Economic Research in Berlin is saying that it's now a $40 million industry in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more than any of the city planners had expected when they legalized prostitution there. So here's what they're going to do. There are about 7,000 plus sex workers, and they don't pay taxes. But now they're generating all this revenue, so the government wants a piece of it. What the government is planning on doing in Berlin is instituting a policy in which every prostitute has to give her brothel $40 a day, and that money goes straight to the government for taxes. The prostitute's saying that's too high. They only want to pay $20 a day.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's Germany's not a third world country. You don't get hookers over there for $20. It's not Tijuana. I don't know. They're on the euro over there, I would imagine. The euro's doing all right.
Yep.
I would imagine that if you went to a brothel in Germany, it would cost you $150 to be with a chick for half an hour, maybe more, right? So if you're with several guys, $40 feels like less than 10% of what you might bring home that day. What's the deal?
They don't want to pay it. I mean, I guess nobody likes to pay Uncle... What do they call Uncle Sam over there?
Uncle Klaus.
They don't want to give him a piece of their hard-earned dough. Yeah.
You know, I don't know why this reminds me. Every time we go, you can't think of... can't talk about Germany without thinking of the Fuhrer over there, but I had this thought a few months back, which is whenever a guy becomes a leader, a military leader for a country, everyone else, all the men in the country, they start naming their kids after the Fuhrer. And the second thing they do is they grow the same facial hair. When Fidel Castro sports a beard, everyone rocks the beard. The list goes on and on with all these sort of all Stalin and guys like this.
Sure.
When you rock that hair, the rest of the men in the country see the leader of the country and they go, I'm sporting that too. Hitler couldn't find one taker. Now that you know you have horrible facial hair when you lead this country, and by the way, it's a kind of place where if you're talking S about the Fuhrer, some guy will come to your house in the night and take you out. You'll never come back again. Right. This is not our democracy. This is a strong-armed leader, and not one guy ever sported the mini Hitler stash. You'll see pictures of Hitler walking in front of hundreds of his troops. You'll see that just never-ending cavalcade of the troops marching down the streets of Berlin, goose-stepping and hailing Hitler. They're all turning toward the Fuhrer. Not one guy ever sported that mustache. You know that's bad facial hair.
Yeah.
If he had a normal mustache, half the dudes in the enlisted in the German army would be sporting the exact same mustache. He had a horrible one. But I always thought, you know, there's one dude in one regiment that did have the Hitler mustache that got S from all his other guys for being a brown nose. Not a brown shirt.
Kiss rodeo.
A brown nose.
Yeah.
And you know this guy was defending his thing like you do? Oh, no, dude. I had this mustache. Are you 1 year? Hand to God, 1 year out of high school. I'll show you pictures. Yes. First off, I'm a year older than the Fuhrer. I graduated high school in 1929, and I had, look at the yearbook. I had the, do not call, do not say I'm kissing the Fuhrer's ass. He couldn't find one taker for that facial hair. That's how bad the facial hair was.
Well, sometimes I get concerned about myself because nothing is sexier than Ralph Fiennes in Schindler's List. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
All right. Well, let's see. What's going on? I think Rutger Hauer.
Who I love and adore.
Who you love and adore.
Well, I quote him a lot.
And speaking of adore, he couldn't find his, so he's not going to be here. But he could find.
I used to love him.
No. The love may be back because he did find his telephone.
I've gone down from love to like.
I hope he found a landline. So evidently he's feeling a little under the weather. So we'll talk to him next. Rutger Hauer next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Time to die.
Rutger Hauer is on the Adam Carolla Show.
And can I just start by saying, on my list of top movies every time is this movie. I don't try and be fancy with Citizen Kane. That comes in like second. Blade Runner, which that clip was from, is my favorite all-time movie.
Me too, except for I've never seen all of it.
And it's my top movie I say I liked to sound cool.
Yeah, everyone loves Blade Runner.
When I meet a girl and I'm getting serious with her and I think I really like her and I think she needs to know what she's about to get involved in because of what I am, I look at her and I quote a line that he is right before or after the line he just said. I look at her and I say, I've done questionable things.
Rutger Hauer's on the line. Rutger?
Yes, hi, good morning.
Good to speak to you.
Huge fan.
Rutger's also been in Sin City and Batman Begins and Confession
of
Dangerous
Mind.
And the Blind Samurai movie. What the hell was that movie?
Blind Fury.
Yes, Blind Fury. Mm. And weren't you in The Hitcher, too, or am I making that up?
In number one, yes.
That's right. Rutger, how did it all begin for you? Where were you born?
I was born in the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
Just 1 year before the Germans left.
Oh, really? So,
yeah.
During World War II?
Yeah, 44. Yeah.
44.
Yeah.
And you grew up in the Netherlands. What did your father do? Were you ever?
They were both of them were actors from my mom and dad.
And so did you want to go into that as a young boy?
No, I had no desires whatsoever.
Well, how did you get into it then?
I went to like 29 schools and wasn't really happy there. Then I went on a freighter when I was 15.
Hold on. You went to 29 schools?
Well, sort of, kind, yeah.
You must suck.
You must have like punched the principal on the first day of every school, right?
Don't be stealing my act.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was just not, I wanted to be outside. I wanted to discover the world. And so when I was 15, I left school. And my parents were, you know, supportive. I didn't run away. I just didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on a freighter as a deckhand, basically. And I was on that for a year, discovering the world. And the first trip was to Chicago, all the way from Holland.
So you sort of became a merchant marine at like 15 years of age?
Yeah. Yeah.
When parents are supportive, that means you're a huge pain in the ass. But it is like, I wanted to go join the circus, and my parents were supportive. That means they had an ass full of you getting kicked out of school.
I remember when I made the career decision to become a crackhead, and my dad said, I think that's your vocation. So
there
really,
you go, son.
If you find a job you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Well,
he was just done.
Was your mind blown by Chicago?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I come from a country where, you know, four-story buildings at that time were about the highest ones we had. And then I came to Chicago, and it was like, it was very different. And all the lakes, and Detroit was probably a good place then. And Montreal and Quebec and Michigan, it was heaven.
So you traveled the world on a freighter at 15 years of age.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's neat.
And did you get laid?
No, that part they would give you information about, you know, syphilis and all that
right.
kind of stuff.
They scared
and, you. Know, and that was a bit sort of kept me away from getting too close.
We bleeped out Rutger Hauer saying the D word for. Penis, by the way. Oh, we're not as liberal as you folks from the Netherlands, unfortunately. And by the way, I didn't know you guys even had 29 schools to get tossed out of. That's pretty good. So when do you get bit by the acting bug then? So you travel, you come to the United States at a young age. I know maybe I'm just over-romanticizing this, but at age 15, getting on a boat and setting sail from the Netherlands and coming to Chicago and coming to the United States and Canada and everything, it sounds romantic and scary to me.
It was not scary to me at all. I was overwhelmed, and you know, the world was such a different place, and I think I always had sort of an idea that it would be, and I just, you know, he really had a great time that year.
All right, so we're only talking about 1960 or so here, right?
Can I jump forward just a little bit? Because I have a personal question.
Yeah.
And I don't mean this to be, because sometimes I'm the loud, obnoxious guy, and I mean this to be a legitimate question. You were the picture, whether I personally thought so or not, and I did, but you were supposed to be the picture of male beauty, male perfection in Blade Runner. They made you to be perfect, right?
No.
Well, it's part of the thing. You know, I've seen it a lot. You only read the script once and you might have been high. I've seen it 30 times and I was high every one. And you are essentially, all of you are made to be perfect and beautiful.
Yeah.
And after that movie, you put on a fair amount of weight. Did you do that intentionally, say, I'm getting away, I'm not doing this character forever, I'm not going to be this beautiful, Aryan, blonde, blue-eyed muscle guy, if I put on some weight, I'll try. Maybe I'll get better roles or different roles. Or did you just chow down?
No, it's. I think after 87, so that's a little bit later. I had like at least 10 years of like, I don't know, an unbalance that was. I was fighting it like a tiger.
Yeah, I remember.
Worked out every day for an hour, and I just couldn't shake all the weight. I know it was. I think it was you know, an unbalance that, you know, guys go through at some point.
You mean like a thyroid problem or something like that?
Or your metabolism slows
thyroid
down.
A male thyroid problem. Yeah.
What it is when 501 Levi's start feeling uncomfortable, that's when you're going through that change.
Yeah.
When you can't wear it without feeling like I can't feel my testicles.
Yeah,
if you have that feeling wearing 501 jeans that you grew up wearing your entire life, that's when the change comes.
Yeah.
So, Rutger, you now have a book, which is basically autobiographical. your autobiography. I can't say it.
Yeah.
Right, autobiographical.
Yeah.
You wrote the book?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was on set throughout the world on the phone for, like, forever with my co-writer. He put, you know, he put it down on paper. We talked, and then we sort of sorted out what we thought was interesting. And I took the approach just to take moments out of my life that were very important to me for whatever reason. And then I have some diaries in there, you know, looking from, you know, an actor's point of view at the world rather than, you know, the world looking at the actor. And I think that's the fun part. I mean, and I, you know, I say it as it is, which, you know, people may not want to know, but I think it's funny.
Rutger Hauer's on the phone, by the way. Blade Runner's also coming out with the 25th anniversary, and it'll be re-released in theaters this fall?
Yes, yes.
Well, that's got to be bitching, seeing it you is. All it's, tan and muscly.
Yeah.
Now, where do you live now, Rutger?
Marina Del Rey.
Wow. And what about Holland, Netherlands? Do you get back much?
I have a small farm in Holland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where paradise is, and that's where the roots are.
Is there anything, you know, that we need to know about that part of the world? Is there a misconception? Is there something we don't know? Are we wrong about the way we feel about that place or the people? Or what would surprise us to know?
I don't know. You'd have to go there. What can I say? You know, perceptions are always sort of tilted to one way or the other. It's a beautiful country. I'm glad I came from there. I still got a great education from it, even though I left school so early.
You took advantage of 29 different schools.
Well, it's funny that the people that have the most jobs, like she had three jobs, are the poorest, and the people that went to the most schools get the least education.
Yeah.
But even you who were kicked out of 29 schools, I imagine, got a good education over there. And then what about your education on the open sea as a 15-year-old lad?
Well, that was the best part, I think. It sort of prepared me for the travel that I do constantly. And I like it, you know, I really do. I love seeing the world, and I love being there. It's different.
We used to treat teenage boys, by the way, as men. We don't do that anymore.
No. Now they're kids. And kids, teenage boys used to insist that they were men. I've never heard anybody over 10 until recently say, "Hey, man, I'm only 22.
Right.
Yeah, people do that now.
I'm only
22. What do you want from me?
Yeah, back then it was like, hey, you're 15. Here's a gun. There's a trench.
A coal mine.
We got a fight. We got a war going on.
Well, speaking of Young, you worked with Sean Young in Blade Runner, which is being re-released. And, you know, since then, there's so much has come out about her being nutty. I've met her. She seemed normal. How was she to work with back then?
I don't know. I didn't work with her. That's the funny part. You know, I hardly saw Harrison. I think in the 4 months I worked, I think I saw him like 7 times.
That's,
you know,
matter of fact, the one speech you gave is one of the very few you actually do with Harrison Ford.
Yeah. And Sean, you know, was always working, you know, on a different stage or on different days when I wasn't working.
But I can answer. I've worked with her twice.
Oh, really?
Nut job with hygiene issues.
With hygiene issues.
Holy man.
But, the big difference, I guess, you know, between Europe and the States is that we don't do the guns as much as you do.
Oh.
And it kind of helps.
Back to the hygiene.
I know. I want to know about Sean Young's hygiene.
We don't, you're not so gun crazy.
No. But then we didn't have John Wayne, so.
Right. Rutger, we will go. Now, the book is out in stores.
Yeah, it is. I'm doing a signing tonight at Book Soup, which I'm looking forward to.
Oh, that's right on Sunset Boulevard. It's probably, you know what, this will be good news for you. You'll like this. It's one of the 3 stores in Los Angeles County that is rated by the New York Times bestseller list. So if you sell a lot of books at that one store, it counts for a huge portion of L.A.
Down and see Rutger at Book Soup. When tonight?
7
o'clock this evening, Book Soup.
Yeah.
It's called All Those Moments, Stories of Heroes, Villains, Replicants, and Blade Runners. Yeah. Rutger, great to talk to you.
Thank you.
Come see us in person soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Can't tell you about that guy.
A different time.
Yeah.
But what better education for your 15-year-old son than just to take off to the open sea as a merchant marine?
I tried that.
And I wanted to be a merchant marine, too.
I tried it. You know what? I almost got as a cook because I worked in Black Angus Steakhouse for a little while. And it was just this, the same time that I couldn't get the job as the Lobster, Red Lobster.
Right.
And it was really just horrible to be the famous busboy and people would ridicule you. Mm-hmm. So I thought Merchant Marine. Mm-hmm. I'm still not sure what they actually do, but I tried to join and they wouldn't have me, just like the Lobster people.
I have a family that has zero connections to the outside world. So thus, when your son is a horrible student and has no discernible skills, it's ditch digging time. But somebody, I believe my mom, knew a guy who used to be a Merchant Marine, thought maybe he could get me. You know, I was 19. I was ready to do anything, go anywhere for 10 bucks an hour. I couldn't find a job. I could only find jobs doing fast food and carpet cleaning, and it fell through. Aww. Thank you, God.
Yep.
We'll take a quick break.
How would I know that?
When we come back, speaking of moms, Mother's Day coming up.
How should I know?
What are you going to do? What should I do? My wife was PO'd because she was listening to the show yesterday when someone mentioned to me, I thought I dodged a bullet because my mom is out of town,
right.
Thus I didn't have to get off my ass.
I forgot.
And then somebody mentioned to me, you have kids, you have to do something for your wife. And my wife last night at dinner recreated the long the long sigh that came out of my mouth. So she said, so Teresa said that you had to do something with me on Sunday. And here was your response. I think she was took a little creative and artistic license. And I was like, sweetie, come on, that's for the radio. No. You making jokes about masturbation is for the radio. Visceral screams of anguish are not for the radio. Come on, sweetie. I was kidding when I went. And she gave me, don't worry. We don't have to do anything. Guys,
don't fall for that.
Don't ever bite on that lure.
Never. I don't want a present on Valentine's Day. Do not fall for it.
And I'm a decent actor, but I'm not great when I have to do that. What do you mean, honey? I'm looking forward to it.
That's as much
so
as
it's right
off.
Up there to these jeans make my ass look good.
Right.
It's never, your ass could look like a Winnebago in those jeans. You just say no.
We don't have to do anything. We're not going to, I want to know what I should do. I don't want to spend a ton of money.
Why not?
Because it's not on me.
It's not on him. I mean,
they're called
no
Adam's Day. Yeah. It's not Adam gets a car day.
I know. But
Mother's
she gave,
Day.
She birthed two of your children this year. It's the first Mother's Day of her life. Huh? She's a mom. This is huge.
I got to say, maybe she's getting a little residual friendly fire that should be aimed at my own family,
right.
Just through the
what about that?
Just through the title of mother. But
freak out.
Yeah. 866-901 Adam. I want to know what you're gonna do. I want to know what I should do. I want something cheap, easy,
not time consuming.
Yeah, but that really says I love you in 45 minutes or less. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Sex, yes.
45 seconds or less, right?
Right.
Right.
I want something that says I love you without me leaving the house. 866-901 Adam, what's your suggestion? What are you going to do next on the Adam Carolla Show?
Here's something you may have missed. It's Bald Brian's bonus B-sides on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yo, yo, yo. What up, bro? Zay Parches in the Izzy.
Did you finish?
I'd rather be knitting.
I really sucked at that, didn't I?
I'm a pedophile.
My dad mails out my old underwear.
I'm not a pervert, but I'm curious.
This guy thinks I'm a prostitute.
I suck at everything.
Don't worry about him. His skin is darker than all.
I have a relatively small penis, but I can't really keep my fist in my pants to give myself an exciting bulge.
Was it back there?
I'm drunk. I'm going to be honest with you. There we go. Ball Brian's B-sides. Best of. We play them every Friday. Something else we play every Friday. Now I have your suggestions here at 866-901-ADAM what I should do for Mother's Day now that I've been saddled. Again, thought I dodged a bullet because my mom is out of town, but as it turns out, I live with my mom now.
Yeah.
Namely, the mother of my children.
It's
so
true.
Sad. And again, I say, we have to have some sort of rule here, which is until the kids are 18, Until they can start calling you mom.
That's not a bad caveat.
Now, if you have a kid who has some sort of impairment and can't figure out how to call his kid mom, you know, the mom until he's, you know, 14th birthday, so be it. But until the kids call you mom, you don't get to celebrate Mother's Day. I'm gonna run that one up Lynette's flagpole and see if she salutes as soon as I get home. All right, but it is Friday. Friday is Crank Anchors on MTV2, of course, back by popular demand. Here's one I don't believe we've ever played. It's Mr. Burcham calling a country club.
Thanks for holding, Mr. Barron.
Barron?
Yes, sir.
Barron, this is Burcham.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you guys got lost and found over there?
This is it.
Oh, perfect. Listen, Barron, I was at a function over there a couple nights back.
Right.
And I lost a leg. I mean, I lost it in name, but I lost a prosthetic leg.
Okay.
Is there one there?
Hold on one second.
It's the right one.
No, sir, I don't see one.
Did you give a good look-see?
Yes, sir.
No one's turned in anything, nothing prosthetic.
Is it black or white?
Is that funny?
No,
they think it's funny that I lost a leg in NAMM? Baron von Smartass?
Yes, sir.
You know what it's like to lose a leg to a landmine? You know that feeling? Of course you don't. You're foxtrotting and bunny hopping through life.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
The cussing can stop.
Listen.
I'm trying to do my best to help you.
All right, listen, goddammit, kid. When you lose a leg, that gives you license to cuss.
Well,
you think you're lying there in a rice paddy in Da Nang with a bloody stump and you're going fudge? Oh, gosh darn it. My leg's gone.
Well.
All right, Baron. You're a decent kid.
Yes, sir.
Circumcised?
Sir?
Circumcised?
If I'm circumcised or not, it doesn't have anything to do with your leg.
Listen, I've been cut. You should be cut, too.
Excuse me?
My leg. It's gone. Your foreskin's nothing.
Huh?
You're missing your foreskin.
Being circumcised does not mean that you... I'm sorry you lost your leg.
I'm missing my goddamn leg.
Okay.
It's my lucky leg.
At least you didn't lose your penis.
How dare you?
Wow.
How dare you, sir?
I'm sorry.
I'm a Christian.
You're talking about
a veteran and an American.
I understand you're a veteran.
Three tours I did. You couldn't handle three tours with air supply, you pussy.
There you go.
Because the reason this country's free, because of guys like me.
I understand that. My father was in the military, too, sir.
Right, right. Probably working on a laundry ship, pussy.
Okay, let me tell you something, sir. That's enough. You talk about my father, that's when I find you and kick your ass and break your other damn leg.
Private Ooh, pussy.
Wow.
What was he, one of those comfort girls? Keeping the soldiers happy?
Wow. That's what he was. He comforted your wife while your ass was over there.
Nice. How dare you attack me?
Yeah, how dare you attack me? You're calling my damn circumcision penis, and then you're talking about my f***ing dad. Now I'm going to start cussing.
How dare you use that language in front of me?
Huh?
I was a decorated SEAL.
I understand that.
What was your dad doing? Slinging hash stateside? Probably Bob Hope when he rolled into town with the USO show. Wuss. Take him out with piano wire. Like a hawk, I swoop down and take out my prey.
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm coming down there.
Okay, come on. Yeah. I'll look forward. Hopefully, I'll have it when you get here.
All right, Baron.
Okay.
Now I'll buy you a beer.
Nice. That way, you got a guy to say, I'll kick your ass and break your other leg when you lost your leg in a war.
Yeah.
You got that guy mad.
Well, I found through making many crank calls, you got to leave the family out of it.
All I heard was the word Baron.
It's the right one to differentiate it from the other legs he has.
You never know what's hanging out in those lost and
black
founds.
Black or white, yeah.
Yeah, you could hear his buddies joking in the background. All right, well, we got bigger fish to fry. Mother's Day is this Sunday. I found out that I must do something now because my wife is a mother. I have 11-month-old twins. I need suggestions from you. Terry from Fresno has an idea. Terry?
Hey guys. It's really good to talk to you.
Pleasure.
My suggestion, thank you, is that you take a mason jar and
No,
this isn't a joke.
This is not a mason jar joke?
No, it's not. I swear to God.
All right.
This is really, Patrice, you'll like this, I swear.
Okay.
All right.
So you go to the store, you know.
Don't abuse my trust,
Terry.
You go to
the store, you get some candies like Kisses or Hershey's, something sweet, dark chocolate. Mm-hmm. You get Post-it notes.
Like your stepdad.
All right, hold on. Strike one. I have to leave the house, but keep going.
You can send Ozzy on this trip. It'll be real easy. You get Post-it notes. You write something sweet on them, on each note, and then you fold them up, put them with the Kisses, and then wrap them up in like a little cellophane. It'll take 45 minutes. You write it, bust out 15, 20, 30 notes, however many you want. Just wrap them up, put them in the jar, give them to her on Mother's Day with a nice little card. And it's like each time she eats one of these candies, she's going to read a note from you.
Now, do I wrap the Hershey Kiss in the Post-it?
Yeah.
What I did was I folded them up so that the note's about the size of the Kiss base, and then just take the cellophane wrapper and just wrap it up with like a little ribbon.
I got it. So you take a Post-it, and you put the Kiss on, and then you wrap the whole thing in cellophane.
And every time she opens one, she gets a personal note. Being a romantic guy, I have to say that I love this. Being a guy, I want to know exactly how gay you are to come up with the idea.
It worked good for me.
Oh no, it's beautiful, man. It's absolutely beautiful. I just don't see a straight guy coming up with
Terry,
something that clever.
What kind of things do you write?
Also, too, Terry, I don't know what you do for a living, but my wife,
plumber.
You're a plumber.
Farmer, known for romance.
Farmer.
Yeah.
My wife's not going to be cool with the $4 I invested into this project.
But what if you sat and wrote her dozens of notes? Wouldn't she like that?
I'll say, Jay. Jay, what do you got? Because here's the thing. My first two would be romantic, and then my third one would be...
Water the pots.
All righty, then.
All right.
you'd run out. That's why I was going to ask Terry what kind of things he wrote on his
little
notes.
What do you got, Terry?
Oh, just, you know, like Beatles songs, like things that we like, the references to love. I drew some pictures and stuff like that. No?
I think it's sweet.
What pictures?
You know, things look like things, places we had been. We had gone on some vacations together, places on beaches.
Memories.
Yeah.
Lived a man that sailed the seas. I don't know if I can get this all into one Post-it. And then she's going to be confused. What is this picture? It's a picture of Terry the farmer and his girlfriend. What do you mean? Okay.
Terry, that's adorable.
All right, that's beautiful, Terry. It's not adorable, but not practical.
It's time-consuming.
But you know what? To me, that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's always been the point. Anything you can just go buy is not the point ever.
I can enhance this. What if one of them, instead of having a Hershey's Kiss, had a little bit of jewelry?
Also, Cupid, you can buy it. I mean, if your girlfriend, see, Gretchen doesn't like jewelry. Well, she also doesn't like effort. Oh, she doesn't like romance. Oh, she doesn't like me. Never mind, I'm done.
I was thinking there's something I call Dinty Moore TiVo Picnic.
Ah.
This is you watch me eat Dinty Moore beef stew while I watch TiVo for about 45 minutes in the den.
What makes it a picnic?
I'll sit on the floor. If you're on the floor, it's a picnic.
Okay, fair enough.
You know how
you're indoor.
You know you can camp inside your house if you make a tent out of a sheet?
Yeah.
Same thing.
So she watches you.
Same thing.
Okay.
She watches me.
Let's take another call, please.
All right. Let's see. Let's talk to Jerry. Jerry?
Yes.
What do you got?
You know, if you're going to do something for her, you got to have something that does something for you. So what I did, I went and bought my wife a day pass to a salon where they, you know, you get the mud bath, massage, nails, whole thing. Mm-hmm. Dropped her off at 9, picked her up at 5. So excited, had so much time to think that we had really good sex that night.
What'd that set you back?
Probably about $200. It was well worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, where are you calling from?
Bancroft, Iowa.
Bancroft, Iowa. So you're listening via the internet?
Oh, yeah.
Well, thanks, Jerry.
Jerry, that's very sweet. And you know what I like about it? I like that you ferried her over there and then you picked her up.
Oh, yeah. We got three kids. We got
ferry,
a four,
the operative word.
Three and a two-year-old, so.
I see. All right, so what you gave mom is a day off from being mom.
Oh, yeah. Dude, she loved it, man. And again, at the end of the day, you know, the guy gets a little treat himself, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
That's a good point.
All right, solid. I'll take that under consideration. I like that better than the Hershey Kiss Post-it thing.
Less effort for you.
Seemed like a calorie burner.
Like the effort.
Denise?
Hello, good morning, Adam and Teresa.
Hi.
Danny, it's Denise in Phoenix.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Adam, what you need to do is go to the deli and get some nice little gourmet meat, some cheeses, crackers, maybe some fruit, grapes. Mm-hmm. Take your wife in the backyard after you put the kids down for a nap and make her feel like she's the only one in the world for a moment. Even if it's half an hour.
Backyard picnic?
Yeah, in the backyard. Yeah, clothes are optional.
Mm-hmm. All right, so picnic on the ground.
Real picnic. See, I didn't catch the rest of it. When you were saying a picnic, I really thought home run. Home run. Mm-hmm. That's the effort, the blanket. You know, you can have the basket made because you can certainly afford it. You don't have to do that all of that crap yourself. Yeah. But you go out and you find a beautiful spot. You set it out. That's pretty cool.
Women want effort.
Yeah.
That's this what guy they wants want. Effort.
I'm on the girl patrol.
Want effort. Now, here's how it works. If you work at McDonald's and you buy somebody a $2,000 ring, that's effort because you make $6 an hour. I mean, that's painful. If Donald Trump gets Melania $2,000 worth of ring, she puts it in a wrist rocket and fires it at his ass.
Right.
It doesn't mean it's not the ring. It's what's it mean to you.
Yeah.
Now, if I make a bunch of money, and I do, and I throw some money at the problem, I mean at the holiday, I throw money at the situation, that gets me nothing, because I have plenty of it.
Like Michael Jordan gambling, remember when they would talk about how much he gambled, to him it wasn't much.
So what, you lose $20,000 in a hand of blackjack, that's nothing to a guy who makes that kind of money.
I have an idea, just came to me. Hmm. Well, one thing that I think all people like this, but I can say women like it, when somebody remembers something you said offhand and then they give you something that you mentioned you wanted, remember way back when Wicked opened and you gave me your and your wife's tickets because you couldn't go and I went on opening night and it was great, but your wife didn't know that she wasn't going? What if you took her because you know she wants to see it?
Well, what happened was is we got tickets to go the opening night of Wicked, and then my wife announced that morning she was sick, and I just hopped on it. All right, don't feel well, give them away to Teresa. And that's what I did. And then that night, she started to get ready and said, we're going to Wicked. And I said, you shouldn't have announced you were sick earlier this morning. Back to Wicked, huh?
Yeah, that would be a nice night out for you, too. She wanted to go, and, you know, you could say, I've been planning this since the opening night of Wicked.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is the show under an hour?
No. It's well over two.
No, can do.
Really?
No, can do.
So good.
Sopranos are on Sunday night. Come on.
See movies.
Use your head, baby.
I don't mind getting up a smoke at the theater. It's down upon. And forget 2 hours without a cigarette.
Oh, good point.
I got to be on a plane with a federal marshal.
We have Teresa from Phoenix as well, who's got an idea. Teresa?
Oh, by the way, I didn't tell that last girl and Teresa. As a disclaimer, when you're done with your great idea or before, would you please say I did not sleep with you this last weekend?
Oh,
any name
Denise
will do.
From Phoenix.
There's somebody in my life right now that's positive I had sex in Phoenix this weekend, so I'm going to go just one girl at a time to get to admit it wasn't them.
Okay. Teresa?
Yes.
You didn't have sex with Bonaducci last weekend, did you?
I would be a liar if I were to say, yes, I did.
Okay, so you didn't. Don't scare me. This chick's not kidding.
Ooh, got the smoker's hat. This is share common love.
Like maybe I did.
Bronchitis.
So here's the deal, Adam. I'm very disappointed. I thought you were a visionary. You're looking at this very short-sighted.
Mm-hmm.
It's Father's Day next month, so be careful. You get back.
He gets back his own money.
Use my credit card to swipe something for me. But here's the other thing, too, about the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day. Women want to be taken out. They want to be pampered. They want the day to be about them. Guys, we want one day of solitude. If we could be bothered, not, you know, left alone, let us do our own thing for one day. That's what guys are asking for. Sadly, the difference between men and women, Mother's Day, we must be all about the woman. Father's Day, let us hang out with other fathers that day. That'd be the best day of our lives. You dads have no duties this day. No picking up anyone, no changing anything. Just go do your thing and be back when the streetlights come on. That is the greatest gift, the gift of solitude.
I like Nicole's idea.
Don't you think that your wife wants to get away from you and her two kids too for the day?
Yes. Look, there's no doubt. The reason we married each other is to get away. Wait a minute. Nicole?
Yes, I'm telling you, Burke Williams Salon in Santa Monica and in, or Day Spa in Santa Monica and in Encino, $210, you get a 45-minute massage, you get a facial and a pedicure.
Yeah, and let's not forget about the $50 tip that gets tacked on to the $210 with the chick with the GED using no materials.
Okay. So
what?
He got the man's credit card.
Have you been to Burke Williams?
Yes, I have.
I went once because I'm against being touched by chicks that aren't having sex with me. It just seems stupid.
Right.
But I thought it was really cool. But the cool thing, they were our biggest sponsor on one of my old stations, and I must have had $3,000 in gift certificates. I was a hero with chicks. You just go, hi, nice time. You know, you should take this. And you give her $100 to Burke Williams. You are a god.
See, when I looked at the screen and it said, give her a pedicure. I thought Nicole was going to say that you should actually physically give your wife a pedicure.
I dye my wife's hair for her.
Really?
All the time.
I don't know. I feel like I would, like, push a cuticle the wrong direction. She'd get a staph infection. Next thing you know, I'm brought up on manslaughter charges. I could see that going horribly wrong. You know I can't push a cuticle, T.
I'm sorry.
Besides, I don't need that. I don't want to get personal, but there's a smell that goes on with the big toe. And only the big toe. And only the corner of the big toe. There's a cheese that gets way deep in there. Come on. Don't tell me you haven't taken a sniff when you were cleaning yourself once or twice.
Oh, yeah.
It is. It's like nothing I've ever smelled before.
And no smells emanate from me. You know this. And I don't eliminate waste.
All right.
We've gone over and over this.
You secrete it from your pores slowly.
Yes, like a frog.
Poisoning everyone you work with. All right. On to bigger, literally bigger and better things. Sean Sally.
Yep. Well, I know.
And I'm four-time NBA champion, John Sally. And as I said, not funny for a jock, not interesting for a jock, not articulate for a jock, just funny for a guy.
Right. He's one of the few sports legends I'm actually aware of because he's so funny. That's a big bitch.
He is big.
That's recording.
What is he, 6'10"?
Please, he's seven. He's seven. He is seven.
I just want one bear hug. Sorry. Do you think he'll give me one
bear
hug?
Did you see me
guess
to show that he meant 7 feet?
Yes.
And then I did this to show him what I meant about distance. Yeah, that's a big difference between John Sally and I.
We'll take a break, and then we'll bring in the great John Sally next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show from the 1990 NBA Championship Series.
0.7 seconds. There's the shot. Pistons have won the world championship back to back.
And now the former first-round draft pick of the Detroit Pistons, John Sally, is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you again, John.
How you doing, Adam?
Always in a good mood.
Always
ready for some fun.
I was with this league. Where'd y'all find that? 1990. I forgot I even won in 1990.
Our guys tracked that stuff down on YouTube, all over the internet stuff.
Yeah, that's hot. That's hot.
John Sally with the Lakers, with the Bulls, with the Pistons, right? Four championship rings.
Three teams, four championships.
That is nice.
I deserve three more, Adam, just to let you know. I deserve
three. How many years now? You were a number one draft pick out of Georgia Tech. In what year?
1986.
86.
Probably the year your wife was born. 1986.
Oh, I wish. You. Second wife, though. Trophy wife. Being made right now, by the way. I've commissioned my...
to be honest.
I've commissioned my next wife.
Yeah. You chose the parents.
That's right. Hopefully it'll take. So, John, you graduate. Now, you're 7 foot.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the problem. I know from being a builder that almost every doorway is 6'8".
Right.
So if you're under 6'8", you're cool. If you're over 6'8", or you're 6'7", and you're wearing boots, you're going to hit your head on 99% of the door openings.
Funny you say that. There's a place called the Sherman Oaks Galleria, which they supposedly tore down and built back up.
That's right.
Except the garage is 6'7", the entire garage.
Right.
In the valet. So the other day, I have a great meeting at Cheesecake.
Right.
And I'm walking down because I have to get to the Chateau Marmont for another meeting. I'm rushing to somebody.
Cheesecake's the name of John's pimp, by the way. Yeah. Cheesecake.
Cheesecake. And so when I come
great
down.
Great pimp name. Cheesecake.
I
really
turn
good.
My head to say hello to somebody. And see that? I let her see it.
Oh, yeah.
I was knocked out for 15 minutes.
No. 15 minutes.
And I went down. And it was.
Did
and everyone
give
ran
you
down.
Mouth?
Oh, no. They pulled me behind it with some Spanish guys in my pocket, though.
Cheesecake factory, I imagine you're talking about.
Cheesecake, thank for the kush. No.
Cheesecake put his chalice down. He began to administer mouth to mouth.
You were knocked out for 15
minutes. I was sitting there. My neck. I got to go to chiropractor. That's why I was happy I was here, because you guys are dropping me off at the chiropractor, and then I'm going back to Adam's house.
Well, after after how many years in the NBA? how many seasons in the NBA did you play? 12
years? I got
years?
Paid for 15, and I played for 12.
Uh-huh.
Went on.
And, yeah. And then the smooth and seamless transition into sports and cable, and again, Best Damn, one of the funner shows to do.
Yep. Got a new show, too. New show on BET called
Ballers. That's
right,
called Ballers. That's Tuesday right. nights, 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
that's
hot.
So that's you, Hugh Douglas, who's a linebacker, right?
Yeah, for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Guy Torrey.
Comedian, one of your buddies.
And Claudia Jordan.
Beautiful, beautiful.
And
beautiful.
You guys are doing what on this show?
Well, black folks talking about sports, as opposed to just entertaining. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting around and I can say it a little bit different on Ballers than I can on Best Damn, because right. my audience understands there's a lot of racial things that happen.
Can you say nappy-headed and not get in trouble?
Yeah, I said it.
So you can say it, no problem?
Not really. I just leave the hose part out. Mm-hmm.
Don't ever leave the hose out.
Yes, you can.
If you got to make a choice between a nappy head or a hoe,
yeah.
pick the hoe.
So I figure just an hour of NASCAR and golf talk every night, right?
Literally, I'm a NASCAR fan.
Well, some speeds
really?
Are.
Literally, like, as I was explaining to your producers, when what happens in NASCAR, they were looking at me like I was crazy just then. No, but right. I did this show for ABC and fell in love with NASCAR.
Well, so when you say sports talk for a black audience.
I didn't say for a black audience. I said the difference is mm-hmm, you have right. three brown-skinned black guys speaking about sports,
right.
and two of us were in it. So we were in the belly talking about it. I always consider professional athletes as gladiators, and that's how people treat us.
I agree with you.
They see me in a restaurant, they go, what are you doing here? Like I supposed to be back at the Palace or back at the Staples Center eating in the back. You know right. what I'm saying? Right. I said, I'm at a restaurant.
You're
idiot.
Out of context.
Right. Why are you in Costco?
Because I buy in bulk. Look at size.
Kimmel gets
I need 9 towels just to dry up after one shower.
Kimmel goes to Costco twice a week
Me too.
With a wagon train of shopping carts and literally buys 30 grand worth of stuff twice a week.
Buy
and
wine.
I always explain to him, yeah, I'm like, Jimmy, here's how Costco works. Here's how you save. You shop once a month at Costco. Right. You bulk up and you save a bunch of money. But if you drop 15 grand twice a week, I don't know if you're saving.
So maybe he's over there with cheesecake.
Cheesecake needs a new fedora, and he's going to buy 12-pack. So you're there. So now, again, the nuances, the difference between the athletes or the people of color talking about the game versus for that audience. Explain that to me.
Most of the time when you watch a sports show, mm-hmm. they have a so-called person who coined himself as an expert because he read the almanac.
Right.
Or he knows he can remember the year.
Right.
That doesn't make you an expert in anything. Usually what makes you an expert is if you lived it and done it.
Right.
And you relive it.
But it is one of these things where the short, squatty, white guys know more right. about sports statistics.
They say. But statistics are
well,
not
they
really
know
sport.
More statistically right. about the game. They know it more from a scientific way, but not from a living it kind of way. It's like right. a guy who's never been laid that studied the Kama Sutra
right.
or that studied porn, but never actually gotten his pepe.
Right, but like a priest. Wet. Remember when I was getting yes. married, my priest said, you should have couple counseling with the priest. I said, he's not married.
Right.
And yeah.
So how could you tell me what to do if you haven't been and done it? Like, that's like
asking. You don't want a driving instructor who's never been behind the wheel.
Exactly.
I don't want a therapist who's never been depressed.
I'll right. still deal with a virgin.
I won't. You won't do it well.
So John, yeah. And you couldn't now on Best Damn Sports Show, you didn't feel like this was being captured?
Oh, I could. But remember, it was a long, drawn-out conversation on mm-hmm. what and how we were saying things. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to say it, and I've said it already. I don't think Ima should have been fired.
Right.
The reason, I think he was wrong.
Yeah. Right.
He should have been reprimanded. But if he was going to change his ways finally, after being the way he's been like this for 30 years since I've lived in New York and listened to him,
mm-hmm.
then this was the perfect person, the platform that we need to stop talking in bad ways about people and stop thinking everybody is a second-class citizen. I think we should have used them.
But firing him set an example, did it not?
Yeah, that now you can ask me if I can say something about black people.
Right.
See, if that didn't happen, You can say, if you were Jewish, you can say Jewish jokes. If you were this, you can.
Yeah.
Only person that was able to do them both was Don Rickles. Don Rickles, because you know he's joking.
Because he's calling you hockey pucks no matter what color
you
are. Right. So it just took away a lot from radio. And, you know, I listened. So we went on the radio at the same time. So I listened to hear what's going on, which way. I used to steal from you until you started coming in late. But I used to steal. And then I was like, you know what, man? This is a country right now. Everybody's too sensitive.
Yes.
Oversensitive.
Yeah.
Like, well, this is what I said on one of, like, CNN or something. I said, what bothers me about it mostly, because I don't care about what he said as much as I care about the fact that he's insignificant. He's irrelevant now. I care that somebody is allowed to have the word and somebody is not. If you look back on a great Stevie Wonder song, it starts with looking back on when I was a nappy-headed boy. Right. So somebody's allowed to say it.
Right.
And every rap song's got hoe in it. Right. So some people are allowed to say it.
Where
some
the
people aren't.
And that, where the hoes at?
Well, you know what it is. We're hypocrites, which is we hear a tape of Alec Baldwin yelling at his kid just some the same as everyone else yells at their kids, and we all act horribly offended. Right. We hear Don Imus making an off-color joke when we've all made a ton of off-color jokes and remarks in our life. We have to act offended, otherwise people think we condone it.
Speaking of off-color, you said. And I was going to say something at the time. You said, well, you know, it's, I didn't say it was a black show. I said, it's three brown skinned black men.
Right. Now,
does that make sense? Are there three green skinned white men?
No, but there are light skinned black men. There are, brown, but dark skinned brown skinned.
So you separate the
I don't separate it. The world does. And I explain how they separate it.
That's a real question.
Obama is more acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Not just to us. We understand he's still a brother.
Obama whiter than my mama.
Right, but he with the lighter color sometimes eases people.
You know what they used to say in the acting world? And that would be, you couldn't do it anymore. You could never say this. But they're called the breakdowns. And you want a part, right? And it says, looking for this way, a gang member, blah, blah, blah. Then there would be parts that would say, look for non-threatening black male.
Exactly. So that's what I mean.
That meant light skin.
On this show, right now, if we were to go with that, there's three threatening black men sitting in front of a camera speaking eloquently. That right there changed the way things
were. Hugh Douglas is definitely a threatening black man. But definitely. He scares himself. But let me suggest this as well. As far as Obama goes and a lot of the folks, like, are we ever going to have
Obama.
A black president and all that. It's not only the skin tone, but it's the attitude, the background. There is more to being black than being a shade of black.
Right.
You know, so I think the white man considers Obama, while technically black, he's one of us because of his demeanor, because of his background, because of things like that. There is that element, too.
I'm loving this conversation because, you know, that is definitely why I said three brown skin. Because in most people's mind, white is calm, black is not. Mm-hmm. But in reality, if you hang out with Danny Bonaduce, you find out that is not true.
Yes, and I take pride in that.
That is not true.
But I break down all color barriers.
That's right. But that goes into it. And let me just say this. When I was saying about Imus, in case somebody says, okay, he's saying that because he's in a room full of Caucasians. That's not why I'm saying it.
Just seven feet tall, man.
Right. Yeah. Why I'm saying it is I literally know and White folks have been free forever. We've been free, 67 years now?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we were 13% of the country. That we want certain rights, certain equal rights after 67 years of so-called being free. So what would happen if it was reversed, he would get fired. So he needed to be fired. He needed to be fired so we can set a precedent. But it's going to restrict everything else. It's going to restrict everything I say and how you say it. And even you. I mean, I heard you say B-I-C-T-H a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
What
word
is that?
Well,
I can't sound it out.
It's like Mitt Romney is going after Al Sharpton.
Don't do that. He got perm.
Like he's trying.
Don't do that. Al's shot with that tongue, brother.
Well, what do you think of Al Sharpton?
I love Al Sharpton. And at first, I didn't know because I used to listen to all the jokes. But the fact that somebody is sitting there watching my back, that right there is a good guy.
You feel like he's
He's looking out constantly. And Mitt Romney, I literally was part of the, was getting involved with raising the money because I was a Republican. And I still am, but I was thinking Mitt was the cat, and then he started flip-flopping, not knowing what side he wanted to be on.
I feel like what Mitt is trying to do is he's trying to bank something, which is I'll do a preemptive strike, which is Al Sharpton says something that's a joke or who cares. He goes after him, and that way he gets to join the victim group
right.
who was wronged. I feel mm-hmm. like he's making more out of this than he should because he thinks he's going to get a get-out-of-jail-free card later on when he puts his foot in his mouth talking about some group. He's going to have one banked or something. I don't think he really thinks that Al Sharpton called him a whatever he said he didn't believe in God or he called him an atheist or whatever it is. And Al Sharpton takes his jabs, too. But really, what year is this? Shouldn't pot be legal by now? And shouldn't we stop caring what people say?
Wait, where's the guy? Where's the weed guy that walked by me?
How can you tell he's the weed guy?
Because you can tell when he walked by and he's not drinking coffee.
Oh, really? Wow.
No, I said, so where's that weed? Good, no, I'm just joking because I heard it. He was like, who told you? Who told you? It should be.
Look, 215. Who screens these calls?
Figure all white guys in their 30s that wear Vans and a poncho, a surf poncho, no, figure they're on the weed.
Or the ones that hair go down their back and they got beards and their eyes are red. Maybe that guy.
Maybe a guy that smells like fire call screener.
That is Kyle. All right, well, John, we will be watching on BET.
Good.
It's my channel.
Yeah,
and I miss phone crankers.
Crank anchors? It's on MTV too tonight.
No, but that I 30. Used to love.
I want to go to Hawaii.
That's my good
Yay.
Leg.
Yay!
Is it black or white?
Go to MTV 2 tonight at 10 o'clock and watch Crank Anchors, John Sally.
Okay.
And thanks for the bear hug you gave me.
Oh, don't worry.
I'll go see Ballers on BET Tuesday night at 11 o'clock. Jimmy Kimmel, speaking of Crank Anchors, on the phone next. We're going to get in Teresa Strasser's dating woes next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Wiahitchka, Florida. A 50-year-old woman who owned an exotic animal farm was killed after being kicked and then sat on by a camel. Definitely not a Jew.
When are we going to learn, people, that animals hate us? Rightfully so.
Yeah.
If there was just a species that rolled around and all they did was eat you or skin you, you probably wouldn't have a good taste in your mouth about them. But birds hate us. All animals hate us. They really do. It's just a handful of them have figured out if they act nice, we'll feed them.
Right.
Right.
And that's what dogs do. My dog gets up every morning with me at 5 and heads down to the kitchen. Why? Because I'm eating and she knows she's going to eat. The second I don't drop that biscuit for Molly is the second she drops a biscuit, waves it my way with her tail, and goes right back to sleep. That's how it works because she'll never follow me around except for when she thinks she's going to be fed. Now, I think we're friends. She's a user.
You don't think she really loves you, even just a little bit, Molly?
If I'm trying to think of the world, if Joey Buttafuoco owned my dog and dropped that biscuit each and every time, Molly would be just as excited to eat it.
Wow.
Yes, that's right. Speaking of Joey Buttafuoco, Jimmy Kimmel's on the line.
Yes, he is.
Jimmy? Jimmy, first off,
I'm with you on the animals, by the way. Oh, he loves me, loves me. Meanwhile, if you pass out for more than 6 hours, they'll start eating your face.
Only if they're really hungry.
Yeah,
I know.
Exactly.
At least
that's not love.
At least cats don't play that game. They're straight up.
Yeah.
They know they don't like us, and they're not going to pretend. As a matter of fact, they must think of dogs as the greatest brown nosers of all the breeds. Uncle Tom's. All right, so Jimmy, tonight, by the way, Matthew Fox from Lost, Kelly Clarkson will also be on the show and perform tonight. Good lineup. You're going to help us with Teresa's dating woes,
well,
yes?
I have an idea, actually, an overall idea, and I want to know what you guys think of this.
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of success with Outbook August, where people went and got celebrities, and if they got the biggest celebrity, they won $10,000, right?
Right.
I'm suggesting we put a similar bounty on Teresa's vagina.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa, try to separate yourself from this as a human.
I'm trying to.
Okay. So our mission and the mission of the listeners is to
listeners.
Fix, yeah, the listeners even to fix Teresa up with someone that she. I don't know how what would make the, it if they have sex whether they get the money or if they if we count a real lasting relationship is when you get the money or
well
sex 10 times.
Who
here's the problem?
Who she picks?
If,
yes.
if she has sex with somebody and they get the money, that makes her the world's stupidest hooker.
Well,
that's a good
point. They can't get the money themselves, so it has to be a fix-up type of situation.
Uh-huh. So
right, but still, the one the chick getting boned doesn't get the cash.
The matchmaker, right. The matchmaker is going to get the payday. So, T, for a second, you know, put your radio hat on for a minute. Take the vagina hat off.
Right.
It's hard to get it off sometimes.
Let me wear it for a while.
And put the radio hat on and think here.
I heard you can pull
here's what happened. I just split off from myself, and a little part of me went away.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Where the,
good.
Where
good.
The part goes when it dies.
Good.
here's what
when
I
you
know
split her
sounds,
off of yourself during a traumatic experience.
Right.
It may sound horrible, but the bottom line is this. People will be presented to you, Teresa, and you will go through, you know, an overall screening type of thing where you'll say, ah, this guy looks okay, whatever, maybe we get them on the telephone, do a little pre-interview before you actually go out on a date with any of them.
Right.
You choose the ones that seem interesting to you in any way.
Mm-hmm.
And then... You know, who knows what happens? And it's totally up to you whether you want to have a relationship with them or not.
I'm open to it. Now my concern is, what if nobody wants to enter the contest?
Oh, people
are very embarrassing.
Don't be silly.
And it's not just I will enter you for nothing at any given moment.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
No problem.
No, you know that lots of people will enter the contest.
Totally.
And, this would be like if you throw a party and no one comes over.
What would it be like if you threw a Teresa and nobody came?
We will, yeah, now look, Angie, you want to give back that 10 grand I gave you for outbooking August?
Let's get Travel Worm to sponsor my vagina.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get
that
somebody.
That would be great to get a sponsor for Teresa's vagina on this concert.
We'll get the Gordon's Fisherman or, you know, look.
You're
know,
better than that, Adam.
I'm just
you're better than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but you're not. That's why he's saying it.
Maybe you're right. Maybe
that,
I am.
We'll have that Tanya Roberts do commercials for it.
That's right.
Let's put together get Tanya Roberts to say, you know, you deserve it. You know you want it.
Yeah, Cheese B has a championship golf course. Spend
and,
the weekend.
18 holes.
Let's get Larry from the mattress place to do, you know, it's free and all that stuff like that.
All right, so we need to rally the sponsors now, get some money going, and get a bounty on TV.
Now, I can see, you know, I can because I personally feel that T does not give herself nearly enough credit on the show, that she's got a self-deprecating way that goes past the point of good sportsmanship where she really doesn't know how talented and wonderful she is. So I would not want to horn in on anything of hers.
Thanks, Danny.
But I'm about to be single, too, which means I've been with the same woman for 17 years.
Yeah,
now, I've slept with hundreds of other chicks in that period, but it's still, once I'm about to be a bachelor, I think somebody might want to care a little bit about the Bonaducci.
Well, let's see how this one goes, because you are, as you mentioned, you are sleeping with hundreds of girls. So
I'm kind of lying.
That kind of lessens the effect.
And Jimmy,
her divorce lawyer is listening. I'd just like to point out that was a radio joke and meant completely as satire.
Jimmy, I do appreciate the thought, because I think one of the main problems is I'm just not exposed to very many people, because I'm up at 4, I'm in bed at 8. I don't meet new people. Unless you're delivering a sandwich to my house or the mail, I'm not going to meet you.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you become like Joe Millionaire in a way. You're like Joe 10,000-aire.
Right. Well, I like this. Now, we were talking earlier about Tall John, a friend of ours who attends your weekend football games.
The problem is all this talk has scared Tall John off from any because Tall John, as Adam knows, is a very shy guy.
I like shy guys.
Is not but he's not into anything that's going to be discussed on the radio.
Is this going to be honestly? Can I ask you a real question, Jimmy?
Yes.
And I'm asking Jimmy the person. Take off your radio hat.
Okay.
Oh, such an animal.
Hold on, it's huge. Takes a while. Okay, guys. All right, they got it on.
I honestly, you know, want to fall in love and be happy, and there's not that many shopping days left till Christmas, till Hanukkah, and I mean, is this going to be really bad for my love life? Because a good guy, like, for example, Tall John, even though I haven't met him, perhaps a good guy does not want to be involved meeting somebody through a radio bit.
Well, I look at it this way. Have you ever seen the show Flavor of Love?
Who hasn't?
Yes.
Look how wonderfully that turned out for so many of those young African-American people.
That's true.
And how much love really blossomed from show. And I think if you just look to that as an example, I think it's going to be a wonderful thing.
Right.
But wouldn't it be great, though, if you wind up the guy you wind up marrying, you met through a contest in which his buddy won $10,000?
What a romantic story for the kids.
Or maybe if we want to make this more ethical. I don't know how to describe it, but maybe only women should be allowed to enter the contest.
Ah.
I mean, I like women that. Should yeah, be allowed women to do the matchmaking.
Yeah, like, you know, because guys are just going to be like, hey, man, bang this chick and I'll split the money with you, you know? You know,
right.
But women, I don't think, are going to be so diabolical.
All right. Yes. So maybe we limit it to women, which now means that every guy has to come up with a shill chick to bring the chick forward, or the guy forward, I should say, because that's how guys work. They can do that math. But all right, again, we're figuring this out on the fly. But I like it.
And of course, Teresa, if you know, we're going to have to verify whether or not the relationship has been consummated. So we'll set up a pay-per-view website type of thing for that to watch.
That's
Teresa
the touch
make
of
love.
Class I needed.
Right.
So we're not just going to go for a swab. We want pictures.
Look, so, I have a dog that can figure these things out.
You know what?
Believe
I gotta
you
tell
me.
You, if you think about it, it's not that much different than, like, say, a dowry or something in the other countries.
The old days.
Times.
Hell, they give you livestock back in the day.
Exactly.
It just, you got to get your story straight. So when you guys do get married and people ask you at a dinner party how you guys met, you don't say college and he says bar simultaneously.
Right.
That's the only thing you need to work out. All right,
well,
Jimmy.
Well, maybe you guys can hash this out a little more. Maybe the listeners can help refine this a little bit. And I just think it's a great idea for everyone.
Well, we have a suitor on the phone. Steven?
Hello, hello.
From Beverly Hills?
I work in Beverly Hills, yep.
That's right.
Live in West Hills.
I'm a nerd.
All right. What do you do in Beverly Hills?
I run a skincare company, of all things.
Hey, I need wrestling.
What? What was that?
He wants wrestling.
I want wrestling.
Sure, it's quite aggressive, but anything's possible.
Is this Stephen calling to offer himself, or is he calling to set Teresa up with someone else?
Which is it, Stephen?
Oh, I would absolutely love the opportunity to take Teresa out myself.
Uh-huh. And what are your qualifications?
Jewish.
Mm-hmm. Strike one.
I do kind of hate myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open to all religions.
Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead.
Successful, nice guy, but definitely with a bad boy side also.
I don't like that.
When you say bad boy side, what does that mean?
It means I won't bore the heck out of Teresa if we get together.
What about right now?
Like, what will you do? That's so exciting. Isn't bad. Have you ever been arrested?
No.
Pussy. Oh,
you're that nerd. I feel like this is going to be a moment I look back on and go, this was the moment that my life really reached so low.
It could go be the other way, though.
Yeah, this could be your zenith.
If I could say some bad radio bit that I was afraid of or dangerous was the low point of my life, I'd give $1 million for this to be the worst thing that ever happened to me.
This is definitely not the worst thing that's ever happened, but I'm going to say I don't have bits. Like, I get a lot of message, MySpace email, people asking me, is this made up? No, I couldn't make this up. I'm not making this up.
No,
I only
not.
Have one story, and that's the truth.
Well, what about the...
unfortunately.
What about the bad boy part? You don't like that part?
No.
Not even a little?
No, I don't get... That is a myth.
So
I don't know any women that like that.
You're
let me tell you
me.
Something, though. This Steven's not a bad boy.
Yeah.
He hears it wasn't like bad boys.
But whoever started that rumor,
you know
I want a guy who pays his taxes, pays his parking tickets, is responsible,
but paying
your
taxes and paying your parking is just not stupid. It has nothing to do with being a bad boy.
Well, Steven,
bad boys are bad boys.
Give us an act. Give us a bad boy act. What have you done? One time you drove around with just your lap belt on? Something like that?
Let's be perfectly candid. Certainly that was something I said because I thought it would go over well.
All right.
See,
yeah,
I like his honesty. Nice, I like that.
All right.
He's honest.
I like the fact that he's honest right after he lies to you.
All right, well, let's put him in the hopper or whatever.
Danny, isn't that called taking care of your side of the street?
No, what I do is I continue to lie till I get what I want. Just never quit.
Well, I don't think that's exactly what Teresa's looking for in a guy.
Steven, do you want to have kids?
I'm gay.
Yes.
You do. Yeah. You
absolutely.
Do. All right. Do you have any kids? Are you divorced?
I have two golden retrievers.
Oh.
Samson and Sasha.
Samson and Sasha.
Winning me over a little bit.
Teresa, Sven beat. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Jimmy?
You set some parameters as, like, what kind of age you're looking for. And let's be realistic. I mean, if you say, like, listen, I'm not going to date a guy that makes less than $20,000. Just say it right out.
That, by the way, that's another thing I get emails saying. Your problem is you keep dating all these guys who are rich and famous. I know two rich and famous guys, and they're in this room.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know rich and famous people.
There's another one on the phone.
Hey, Steven.
Oh, yeah, I know Jimmy, too. Yeah.
But one of us is a single and a tramp. So if you're looking for just something to do. And I know I'm only 5'6", but I'm like 6'1" when I stand on my money. So if you want to have at it.
Hey, Steven.
Yeah?
How much do you pull down a year?
Well, you can take that 20 and, you know, add 100 to that.
Mm-hmm.
See, make about 20, not bad.
And into the skincare line, something T will appreciate.
I would appreciate.
All right, Steven, we'll put you on hold.
Thank you, Steven. It actually does take a lot of balls to make a call like this, and I appreciate it.
And if you ask Kyle, I have been quite persistent to get through.
Uh-oh. Really?
It just took a turn for the scary.
Yes.
Hey, but I don't want people to misunderstand, though. This is not you call up and pitch yourself to Teresa. This is actually somebody setting somebody up here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Steven needs to get a friend to make a testimonial on his behalf.
Mm.
Yeah.
Felicia wants to know if you'll take his son to the prom.
Oh.
It is prom season.
Hi, I had to give my a fake name or my son will kill me, but he wants to kill me anyway, 17. But he's 18. No, he was 18 on May 4th, so he's legal now.
Mm-hmm.
It would be so cute if you could take him to the prom,
mm-hmm.
and he'll take you to Koi for sushi, and he'll have you play PlayStation all night long, and he won't make you give him oil or anything like that, and he won't drug you. He's a good, shy, nice sushi, and he's made 12 national commercials. He just got his Jackie Cougar money.
I'm actually crying right now.
He's made All right, so he just turned 18.
Could you imagine your mom, by the way, you're sitting there and she's like, you don't have to give him oral.
No, I would kill her.
I'd break up with my mom right there.
This is why I gave a fake name, and I need therapy very badly. But anyways, and he will too. Maybe he should save his money for therapy for being with me for 18 years. But wouldn't it be cute if he picked you up in a limousine and took you to the prom?
Well, here's the thing. I didn't actually go to my own prom.
So it's time. Just like Kirk Douglas didn't get his bar mitzvah until he was 83. It's time, Teresa. Come on. It would be cute.
I'm getting a breast tomorrow afternoon.
Listen, this would be great if you were in the Make-A-Wish program. Is he dying?
Oh, God forbid. No.
He's dying of embarrassment.
God, that's horrible. Exactly. Okay, so no problem.
This
prom
is his day. Mother. Of course he's dying.
No sushi, no PlayStation.
Happy
Mother's
Day, though.
Listen, Felicia.
Thank you. Yeah.
I would like you to limit yourself to 29 syllables a day with your son. You are eating his brain with your words. Do you understand me? This boy is going to write a Portnoy's complaint, too. You understand? You're going to turn him into a neurotic serial killer.
It's wonderful, but he's going to college, and he's going to hate me, and he's probably going to find somebody to... I don't have any life insurance, so I don't think he'll be killing me anytime soon. He loves me deep down inside when he has to do his own laundry and wash his own fart stains out of his underwear. He'll realize how much he took for granted. All I'm doing is driving down Robertson near 3rd. I'm going to his school now to embarrass him, of course, actually.
Are you talking about him washing the fart stains out of his underwear when you get there? Because I want you to know that...
Look, I'm a funny woman. Leave me alone. It's not
you
killing
me.
I love my weirdness. It's the ones that are weird that don't know they're weird. I'm weird. Now, leave me alone.
I just want you to know.
I like you.
I just want you to know. My wife is leaving me. My house almost burnt to the ground.
I'm losing
half my money, and I'm thinking I was okay until I talked to you.
Spend a day with me. I know. Don't worry. I don't want to spend a day with you.
She's a sweet woman.
Oh, my God.
I gave a day to my son, and I tried. Thank you. Goodbye.
She sounds nice. Therese, you should give Oral to her son.
You know what? She's very festive. Can you imagine if that's my new mother-in-law?
I'm shooting myself now.
It's his birthday. Give him oral.
You guys got to get that kid on the phone.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Get to the bottom of that. But anyway, all right, I'm going to get off the phone and let you guys hash this out.
And, Jimmy, thank you for trying with your friend.
No
that
problem.
Was very generous of you.
Listen, no matter how much money we have to throw at this problem, we're going to find you a husband.
If God money can fix it, it's not broken.
I agree. Thank you. Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight, 12:05. Matthew Fox, easy on the eyes. Yes, T?
Yeah,
I love also, him. Kelly Clarkson. Oh, my God. Yes. You know, I have this theory where certain part of the populace is born gay. You just have a hankering for the opposite sex.
Right.
Then there is the created in the lab. This is molested by your uncle, gay. There's a third element I rarely talk about, which is harpy browbeats you into being gay.
Yeah.
Mom who never shuts up, over-domineering, crazy mom.
How would I know that?
Yes. Yeah, there's only room for one woman.
My mother assured my straightness by not speaking to me during my childhood. She had the quiet dignity to be quiet. There is a third part of gay, which is harpy shrew mom, I never want to be with that. It's not I'm attracted to men, it's I cannot marry one of them.
Right, repelled by women.
Repelled by women. Not physically, not done because you're molested, not born that way, but talked into gay. An actual gay auctioneer. Somebody that converted you through words. That's what's going on there.
I like her. She was like Auntie Mame. She's crazy.
How long in a car with her before you just threw yourself out of the window?
Thank you.
There you go. T.
Yes.
The news. What's coming up in it?
Well, interesting you should mention crazy moms because Kanye West and his mom have been pimping a book they co-wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And they discuss porno together.
Sure.
We'll get to that. And why does a man get on his wheelchair and go on the highway?
Well, we will find out next on The Adam Carolla Show.
She even dated a MySpace guy. Some dude wouldn't pick her up for their date. And after sex, one guy cried. Yeah, Teresa Strasser's had a lot of bad dates. All her partners have been so lame. Picking men isn't her strongest game, 'cause this Jew broad may be just a little insane.
I
said a little, yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Rich Banks.
Didn't say mega nuts. T.
Yes.
Mega nuts, my porn name. That's right. T, what's in the news, mega nuts?
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
There's a 4,000-acre fire on Catalina Island. Blaze is being fought by firemen from many counties. And, of course, Danny Bonaducci's got a gig there tomorrow.
Sure do.
Good times.
A barbecue with Danny Bonaducci.
Well, you can't make this stuff up, folks.
It couldn't be more perfect. My whole life, man, dig it. I mean, obviously, the bad thing that I've now said, I guess, too many times, that is killing me.
Right.
So I'll add to that the part that I'm trying to be too couth to mention, but I really don't love the millions of dollars going that direction.
Right.
That's kind of on me. Evacuated from my house. My aunt dies, then three states in 3 days. Come home, do a thing with TiVo, which went really well, right after I got off the plane. Then I go to Catalina, and it's on fire, too. It just describes my life so well.
Barbecue Catalina. Did they scrub the mission, or are you still going to do it?
What they're saying, I would totally, happily go do it. I think you can find the barbecue pit yourself.
Well, as of now, they have been evacuating people, so I don't
know. My fear is that not even if they evacuate people, there will be no ferries to take people back. They're going to go back empty to fill and bring people off the island.
Uh-huh. Yeah, who the hell's going to Catalina this weekend?
Most people are leaving Catalina, so.
But you know what? I mean, I do stuff off the cuff all the time. If you want to think of something to do with me tomorrow, you know, if you're one of those guys and you want to go,
well,
I was going to say Griffith Park where I live, but that burned too.
That was on fire.
Park, yeah.
Yeah, the good news is it looks like the Griffith Park fire is going to be contained soon. Now, earlier we took a call that sounded as though we're sponsored by Oedipus.
Mm-hmm.
Mom calling about her son.
Right.
Kanye West has and his mom have been making the rounds. His mother wrote a book called Raising Kanye. Mm-hmm. And something that the media has picked up on from the book is that when he was a kid, he took a pornographic magazine to school, and his mom made him write an essay about why porno is bad. Anyway, Kanye West and his mom went on Ellen, and here he is discussing his relationship to porn.
You know, we're real people. We deal with reality. We have our flaws. We have our vices. We have different things we like. I like porn. I can say it next to my mom right here, you know? It's all good. I'm a grown man, you know. I'm 29 years old. I stopped in the adult section a little bit, you know. It's all good.
It's all good.
I feel like if I was writing an essay on the evils of porn, I would have to masturbate about halfway into it. It'd be like, why porn is evil? Well, big busty women oiled up and having meaningless sex with... I gotta use the bathroom. I'll be back.
You know, I was at the doctor's office yesterday because I hurt my shoulder a little bit, and I want to make sure I'm 100% for this fight. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm texting this friend of mine. It happens to be a female, nothing intimate. But, you know, she thinks she's finally one of my friends. She can say anything she wants. So she's talking about all the possible causes I could be at the doctor, and what have I gotten? She's being funny. And then she starts talking about how I could have gotten them and what acts we could have done. And I found myself...
You could have gotten her?
No, just in general, you know, because I heard you're into this. But it was really kind of graphic sex talk on a text on your little phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go in and get kind of examined by my little Korean doctor, Woo Lee, who I love very much. But he thinks I love him more now.
Oh,
I got aroused over text messages.
Well, I got to tell you, the problem with the doctor's office is they will tell you, get down to your underpants and then hang out. Yeah. Now, I always used to yell at Dr. Drew, how about you come back and tell me to get in my underpants? And it's going to take me 8 seconds to get in my underpants. But they'll do the hang in your underpants, I'll be back. And then they come back 25 minutes later. Meantime, a nurse pops her head in 6-8 times. And you're saying that now. When you're young and you're male, you can only sit so long in your underpants without getting an erection.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of girls know that, but until you're 47, every time you sit still for any length of time, I mean, literally any time you do anything.
When you're young,
you probably get, I probably get 5 erections a day for no reason.
I had 2 during the erection talk we just had.
I did
that for a football physical when I was about 17, and I actually got down and did push-ups in the doctor's office.
To try to get rid of it?
I thought to myself, when's the last time you had wood when you were doing push-ups?
But the problem is that you can't go all the way down and do a decent style. You got to be kind of bent in the vein if you're any kind of man.
I could.
Yeah, me too.
They had a high pile carpet. It was easy.
Well, unfortunately for a 42-year-old man in Spain, he cannot do any push-ups because he is a quadriplegic. And he was busted in Spain last Friday because he was taking his electric wheelchair on down the road. And he went on the highway at what police are calling a considerable speed in a wheelchair. That's probably 7 or 8 miles an hour, but that's dangerous to him and other drivers. Cops got there. They stopped the 42-year-old man. He was controlling the wheelchair with his mouth. And they asked him, why, sir, are you on the expressway?
But he was controlling it with his mouth, so that he's saying...
I believe he could still speak, and I think you can blow into a thing that controls the wheelchair. Anyway,
and you can't get a date.
Yes.
You can blow into a thing that'll make a wheel turn, and you can't get a date.
You can blow into a straw. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, Danny.
You blow into this thing, and I'd love to figure out how it knows whether you're blowing right or blowing left or blowing forward or blowing in reverse. Maybe you suck on it for reverse. Either way, it is pretty amazing.
It's amazing that it works. This guy made a wrong turn, and according to police, he was on his way to a brothel. And he got lost. Nice. They gave him a breathalyzer. He was sober. So they got him off the freeway safely and let him go.
Look, if I had one of those wheelchairs, if I was a quad and I had the wheelchair that you blow into, I would blow into the woman's locker room at the gym about every 20 minutes. I would blow into everyone's office.
Lost.
I would just be like, I don't know what's up with this thing. I am so sorry. I commanded it. I blew it to make a left at the end of the hall. It turned right. What are you going to do, ladies?
I guess it begs the question, what was he going to do with the brothel? Exactly.
Well, maybe they blow into the straw. He just goes into a circle.
It was not a cinco diplegic.
They I have learned that these guys can still enjoy an active sex life.
Sure.
I'm not exactly sure how. Maybe that straw comes with attachments. I don't know, but evidently you can still achieve and be a quad. We need to take ourselves a break. I'm not ending up news because I'm going to bust it in half. I'd like to get to the rest of it. We have some box office news and some Cameron Diaz news. We'll get to that. Also, another Crank Yankers call because, after all, Friday, MTV2. Quick break. Be back with that next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, No Child Left Behind.
Even the imbeciles?
Well, yeah.
That was Adam Explains No Child Left Behind to 1780s guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, no news story left behind. That's Teresa Strasser's rallying call. What's left in the news, baby?
Danny's gone. Yeah, I love him, but he's working my last nerve today, Adam.
He's fired up.
He's working my last nerve. All right, on to the news. No, don't even play that. Cameron Diaz is in the news. Mm. Oh, he's back.
Yes.
She is defending the rights of beautiful women everywhere because they need her.
Yes, you sure.
Now, she is tired of the injustices that she faces just because she's beautiful. She says, quote, if a woman who's a successful actress weighs 300 pounds and has warts, nobody ever asks her, do you think you made it because you're ugly? So why should there be prejudice against someone who's had some success in films and looks a little better than average? It's all in my genes, so don't hold it against me.
I like to get in her genes. And by the way, let's all close our eyes and think about the very successful leading women that are 300 pounds with warts. Nope, doesn't exist.
None come to mind.
I was thinking about this when women complain, you know, where are the roles for the women in their 40s and their 50s? Well, the only reason you got the gig is how you looked.
Right.
And if you only get the gig for how you look, then when you stop looking how you looked, you can't complain.
Right. Meryl Streep is still working.
Right. And let me explain life very quickly.
Please.
When I was 19, I had to get horrible jobs in horrible places doing horrible menial labor, crawling under condemned apartment buildings and working with felons and illegals in vans cleaning carpets.
So, not a lot's changed.
Not a lot has changed. Still working with the felons. Why? Because I was a dude and I couldn't go shake my ass and get myself a job as a cocktail waitress or a receptionist or a greeter or a whateverer because I was cute. I couldn't trade on my looks. There are plenty of chicks I went to high school with who had the same horrible education I had, except for they got to get out of high school and get a decent job cocktailing because they were attractive women. That's the way the world works. Later on, when you're in your 50s and you're not so attractive, you don't get the gig anymore. Don't complain. You had a good 20-year run.
Now, two actresses who, Jane Fonda, for one, has been working a very long time, Felicity Huffman, they are both in a new movie called Georgia Rule with Lindsay Lohan.
It's opening. Yes, her name is Georgia.
And
her
rules
are, oh, for the love of Christ. And by the way, Jane Fonda.
Yeah.
Jane Fonda retires from acting for 25 years and comes out to play Monster in Law.
Yeah.
This farce, this over-the-top, crappy, farcical comedy, and now this?
Yeah.
This is what you come out of retirement for, Jane?
Remember on Golden Pond? And that other movie she did about Vietnam, you'll know.
Coming Home.
Yes, yeah. Great movie. She's
by the
actress.
Way, we're just talking about quadriplegics having sex. That's what that movie is about.
Yeah.
And he cannot feel her, and he says, but I can see it.
That's right. It's all we need. That's right. And let's not forget Barbarella.
Yeah.
Cinematic classic, Barbarella.
Also opening this weekend, The X, starring Zach Braff and Amanda Peet.
I don't know why, but just these to hear... Lindsay Lohan and and Fonda and what's her
Felicity
name?
Felicity Huffman.
Felicity Huffman all just sit there. And it's when actresses do that thing where they just blow that wind about what how great it was to work with and how generous. Oh, here's the story. You know, when I first got on the set, I was intimidated because Jane Fonda is a legend.
Why?
And you know what? She was a raving C. I was right. I just want to hear it. You know, first off, all women hate each other. Actresses are even worse. And when they have to work together, I'm sure they all hated Lindsay Lohan because she was abusing her power and late and going out partying.
First time I've ever seen it where almost everyone said it.
Yeah.
Remember, William Macy said it to us.
But they all had to go out and do the press conference where they explained about what a joy it was and how they're dear, dear friends and they're such generous and bold. Oh, her choices are so bold. And then you see the movie and it's like, are you high? Another piece of junk that we don't care about.
Well, perhaps you'd like to see Delta Farce.
Yes.
Starring Larry the Cable Guy and Bill Engvall.
That's
on.
Not a movie. That's a film.
It's a film.
You
sorry.
You understand the difference?
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Also starring DJ Qualls, who I think was in Hustle and Flow.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he was.
And Lisa Lampanelli, friend of the show. Perhaps you'd enjoy that. But I think I'd also expect to see you at The Salon, starring Vivica A. Fox.
Yeah, that's right. Big fan of hers.
Who I know that you love. That's what's at the box office this weekend. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. You, CNN.
All right, we'll try to do this quick. Hmm? Crank anchors? All right. Crank anchors, Friday. This is Sarah Silverman, a woman I do love.
Yeah.
As Hadassah Guberman.
Let me bird.
Hi. I need to talk to a customer service person, or can I just talk to you? Or...
Sure.
I bought a handbag there.
Uh-huh.
A Desmo.
Right.
And I had no idea that it was a lesbian purse. And... my fiancé's sister, who's a lesbian, pointed that out, and now he broke off the wedding, and I am irate, to say the least. You know, I'd like to exchange this bag for a more of a non-lesbian handbag. I'd like the lesbian who sold it to me to be fired.
Well, I mean, when did you get the purse?
I bought it Thursday.
Okay. You want to return the purse?
Yes, I would like to return the purse.
Fine.
I'd like to get a heterosexual purse.
Which Desmo bag did you get?
The Lesbo one.
I have not.
I should have figured when it was Desmo. Desmo sounds like a deaf person saying Lesbo. Desmo.
It's a Desmo. I know what a Desmo bag is.
Great.
Okay, you know, let me get your name and phone number, and I'm going to have the manager call you back.
Hadassah, the lesbian Guberman.
I'm sorry?
I should have known when the sales girl kissed me on the lips that this was not going to be something for me.
And do you know who sold you the purse?
Her name was Steve.
We don't even have a Steve that works here.
Well, I just think it's funny now all of a sudden you want my phone number. I mean, it's just like...
We don't even have a Steve that works here.
She looked like a Steve. I don't know what her real name was.
Okay, and your phone number?
Are you hitting on me?
Oh, no, I am not hitting on you. You're She's calling gone. About a purse that you want to return, and we'd be happy to. If you want to send it back to us, we'll refund it on your credit card.
I would like to return it. I'd like to exchange it, but I need a handbag. I don't want to be without a handbag. I don't have to wait until Monday for your manager to call. A handbag is like...
Okay,
is
well,
like a vagina. It's personal. It's a part of me. I keep things in it.
Look, actually, I have a store full of people right now, so can I call you back?
Okay.
Hello?
My fiancé thinks that's why I never gave him oral sex, is because I'm a lesbian. And it's like, how do you tell somebody I'm not gay? You just have a really ugly penis.
Okay.
Scary.
Okay, I'm going to have to hang up here. Okay, I'm sorry.
Wow, she's good.
Good times. The great Sarah Silverman. We'll take a quick break. Be right back to wrap up next. Well, there you go, everyone. I want to thank Bill Engvall, Delta Farce in theaters today, Rutger Hauer. He's going to be over at Book Soup signing tonight at 7 o'clock out here in Los Angeles. And the great John Sally. Ballers, BET, Tuesday nights, 11 o'clock. And what about Jimmy Kimmel, my main man? Jimmy Kimmel live, 1205 ABC. Yes.
Hey, if you want to see that fight we were talking about, the press conference where I bite the guy's head and then knock him out, it's now on MySpace.com, which is MySpace.com/Bonaducci, or you can go to ours, which is
AdamCarolla.com.
AdamCarolla.com. Thank you, Adam.
There you go.
It's awesome.
And until next time, is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
It's his birthday. Give him oral.